take you live to the Central Texas Command Center and the heart of the resistance. You're listening to Alex Jones.
My friends, it is January 2nd, 2019. 2019. I'm your host, Alex Jones. I'll be here for the next 4 hours. Paul Joseph Watson with big breaking news joins us at the bottom of the hour. Massive Islamic stabbings, shootings, bombings, firework attacks, rapes, all over Europe, celebrating the new year by burning down hundreds of cars per city. It has been quite the Islamic uprising that is just done as an exercise of dominance over the slaves. And so that is going to be coming up with Paul live from London, England, at the bottom of the hour. We also have the good news. We have the new Brazilian president finally being sworn in, already making good on many of his promises out of the gates, linking up with Trump and Putin and others that they will not allow in public schools, the pedophile agenda of sexualizing children, that they're putting in place their own Second Amendment, and doing a lot of other really exciting things like pulling out of the global carbon tax, something that Australia, something that Brazil, something that Russia, something that the United States, something that so many other countries like France, the supposed vanguard of the whole thing, well, they've pulled out because the public has been rioting, not burning down other citizens' cars or raping women like the Islamists do, but by attacking the corrupt leftist institutions. It's a lot of very, very positive news coming up. On the censorship news, Netflix is now removing TV shows that are critical of Saudi Arabia off of their platform. And that dovetails with all the rest of the censorship. You saw Franklin Graham, one of the biggest Christian leaders in the world, taken off Facebook for dehumanizing statements saying the family exists, and then being put back later, but that was all a test. Well, now we learned that not only was Benjamin Netanyahu's son basically called a Nazi by the Anti-Defamation League for criticizing the Holocaust survivor. What a sick joke. Yeah, he survived it by killing his fellow Jews, helping round him up. George Soros. Well, he's been back in the news, CNN, you name it. Why his son banned temporarily from Facebook over hate speech. And all he pointed out is that all the Muslim countries are Muslim only because they won't let you live in peace with them. And that's a fact. Well, you're not allowed to say that. He pointed out, though, that Hezbollah and Hamas can have websites or pages on Twitter and Facebook calling for blowing up Israel and calling for killing his father and his family. That's okay. You just can't point out that other Muslim countries won't even take any Palestinians in, but that Israel is supposed to. And again, whether you like Netanyahu or dislike him, whether you like Franklin Graham or dislike him, this is how far the censorship's gotten. See, first it's the Nazis, and then it's Alex Jones, and then it's you. And it's very, very, very dangerous. You know, South Park won't even go as far as it used to. South Park's some pretty good comedy when they get down to brass tacks, and they would tackle anything. You know, they weren't scared of the Scientologists, you name it. But boy, have they been doing stuff on the modern political correctness? A little bit, but they really should be tackling it more. But there's all of this intimidation. Now, when we come back, I've got something really big, something really, really big that I'm going to tell you about. Oh, and it's ominous. Storm clouds. We'll break it down when we come back in just 60 seconds. I'm Alex Jones, NewsWars.com. Tomorrow's news today.
You've got it. You've got it.
Waging war on corruption.
All right, you want to go?
It's Alex Jones, coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
Well, there's a lot of craziness going on. Like the former editor of the New York Times, she got fired 4 years ago. coming out and saying that the sky is blue, and everyone then congratulates her on it. She said, oh, I hate Trump, but you know, everything we do is anti-Trump. Everything is slanted against him, and it makes people not trust us or believe us. I don't need you, lady, to tell me that a hippopotamus lives in the water and is fat. I don't need you to tell me what I already know about the New York Times, but it is mind-blowing when I look at CNN or MSNBC or read the New York Times or any of it, that it's total inversion of reality. And so often, I don't even respond to it on air anymore because it's so brazen, it's so ridiculous, it's so insane. We all remember, and you can pull up the photos, of Obama going into war zones and some of the troops coming up and wanting him to sign his autograph. But the left spun it like it violated military code and they were all going to go to jail and people tried to find who the soldiers were and indeed get them in trouble. I call it the chicken S-H-you-know-what-T dimension. That's a term I've coined. How do you get so low that you're trying to figure out the names of Marines and Army soldiers who got the president to sign something? How do you get so low down that you have brigades? That's what they call it, brigading, on all these social media networks where these groups target someone new every day, every week, and then bully and harass and lie about them and get them fired, get them, people commit suicide, and then they come around and go, we've got to take right-wingers off the internet. They're bullying everyone. And again, I've got so much huge news here. It's just, to start out with her, we're going to cover it more and actually play some clips of her. And we've got Mitt Romney, the guy that has lost two presidential runs, a guy that's very milquetoast, a guy that then claimed he supported Trump and was going to get behind his agenda, now sniping at him, trying to become pertinent again, trying to become relevant again to run against Trump in the next year. And the word is, Mitt Romney told you he wasn't going to run again. You know he's going to run again. Hillary says she's not going to run again. She's going to run again. And she's now basically said she is going to run again. I mean, unless they've been staging Democrat internal meetings in front of people I know, and Hillary's just telling the DNC she's running, which could be. She could be lying to them just to keep control of the party and the money and to make the Clinton Foundation look pertinent and look relevant and still in the game so that she still gets donations. I mean, maybe she knows she's sick. She knows she's old. She knows she's toxic. Even in their rigged polls, she's more toxic than Donald Trump. So maybe she isn't going to run. She's just telling people in these internal board meetings that she is. Because she is. I've talked to people that have been there. But I'm digressing. Sorry. Mitt Romney, who has lost two presidential runs, and who every time he got attacked by the media would apologize and step and fetch, unlike Trump, he's now out sniping. Get this. I've got the op-ed right here. Calling him an immoral person for trying to pull our troops out of Afghanistan and Syria when he ran on that. And then he's been telling him for over a year and a half, for 6 months he didn't try to pull out. Hey, it's time to pull out. But the generals are all a bunch of yes men put in there by the military-industrial complex who all get revolving door jobs at the big defense contractors, many of which are globalists and have actually sold our weapons to China and who are sabotaging this country on weapon systems that don't work. Instead of going with real doctrine to strengthen this nation, we've spent right at $2 trillion in this 18-year war in Afghanistan. And most analysts even agree, mainline analysts, that there's nothing to win. We're strengthening Pakistan and China by staying. We lured the Russians in to sap them with terror attacks out of Afghanistan on other stands in 1979. Brzezinski and Carter did that. You think of Carter as this dove. His national security advisor was good at starting wars, like how he helped put the Khmer Rouge in Cambodia and then stepped back and let them do the killing. He bragged about that in two books I read that he wrote. So why are we doing that? Here's an example. China is already taking out up to $44 billion a year. $44 billion a year, you can look it up, of resources out of Afghanistan. Guess how much lithium for batteries. Guess how much cadmium. Guess how much of these hundreds of rare earth minerals that China controls 98% of globally, because we don't enter that market. So we basically stabilize the railways and stabilize the highways and stabilize it for the Chi-Coms, just like we always do. That's globalism. And Trump knows that. The minute we pull out of there, the Taliban and Al-Qaeda are going to start blowing the Chinese bases up. They already are. And that'll be their own problem. But instead, we guard Afghanistan for the Chi-Coms. So they can get $44 billion. There was actually an editorial I saw in the New York Times this weekend. Occasionally they tell the truth. It was a headline, Trump is right about pulling out of Afghanistan. And the person, the analyst, writes three paragraphs about I hate Trump and he's bad. But then they list all these numbers that I already knew. But it's just mind-blowing that everyone knows this. We've spent $2 trillion. $2 trillion. We've never spent $1 trillion on NASA in its 60-year history. Not $1 trillion on space exploration, but $2 trillion on that rat-infested hellhole. So the UN can organize refugee centers and bring them here. Oh, and then Mitt Romney and General McChrystal, a horrible, corrupt demon. They go, oh, look, he's nonpartisan, total Obama hack. McChrystal calls Trump immoral. That's the talking point. How dare you try to start pulling our troops out like you promised? You are incredibly immoral. Now, when we come back, the big news. I'm going to do it bottom of the hour, and Paul Watson joins us. And I'm going to cover it for about a half hour at the start of the next hour. This is the big enchilada. There's more than one way to classify information, and more than one way to declassify it. And if, as I predicted, you're going to start seeing very skilled hackers who already have the information, but they're going to parallel construct, release all the 9/11 poop on the Clintons, because they're involved too, and the Bushes. So, you want to rock and roll, baby? You're going to rock and roll. The hackers have 18,000 pages of the stand down of 9/11. It's up on Infowars.com, and it's all about to be coming out. Let's stop right there. Guess what? The entire New York crime syndicate bipartisanly was involved in this. Trump wasn't involved. That's why the week it happened, he said there were bombs in the buildings and there should be an investigation. Remember that? Called covering your bases. And that's a few of the little tricks. That's why Trump said, strap yourselves in, it's going to be a wild ride. But first, when we come back, Governor Cuomo says we're in a civil war in America and that Trump's making people lose faith in blue states and leave. No, people were leaving a long time before Trump ever got in office. Face reality. People hate collectivism. Here's Cuomo.
You're now paying two taxes. You pay a tax to the state or tax to the local government, and then the federal government taxes that tax.
Yeah.
I mean, it happens to occur coincidentally on only blue states.
We're going to come back with this and more. He also gave another speech where he said America is in a psychological depression. And again, it's all Trump's fault. No. You guys have been running the country in the ground, whether it's New York City or Seattle or San Francisco. Everywhere you guys get control, you run it into the ground. We'll be back. Stay with us.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
We are back live broadcasting worldwide. So, President Trump runs on getting out of Afghanistan and getting out of Syria. Afghanistan, when Trump was running, had cost about 1.5 trillion. It's estimated to be at about 1.9 trillion right now. But even if we tried to pull out now, the overlapping cost to wrap it all up, they estimate to be about 2.1 trillion. These are mainline numbers. So we're almost at 2 trillion right now. Another $100 billion if we try to get out of there. That's double the money we've ever spent or more on NASA. And here's the big secret. China is extracting $44 billion a year, and it's ramping up out of Afghanistan. That is absolutely overflowing with rare earth minerals. There's only two other places that have that much rare earth minerals, and that's South America and Africa, and limited areas have it. So Afghanistan is a treasure trove. Why aren't we getting any of that? Because the deal has been made with China to give them the deep water ports, to give them control of rare earth minerals, to give them control of Africa and all the different industries, as long as they don't expand militarily outside the South China Sea and don't create advanced offensive weapons. And starting about 40 years ago when that deal was made, they've been breaking it the entire time. And even under Obama, they had to admit they'd broken the deal and pivot over to Asia, the Asian pivot. But the globalists set this up. They were always planning on betraying us. That's why America has the highest regulations and controls, so you can't do business here. That's why we let all these foreign countries have huge internal tariffs against us, but no tariffs against them. And so we go spend, do the math. I mean, let's divide 18 years into 1.9 trillion. Can you guys do that in the math for me? 18 years divided into 1.9 trillion. That's how much we're spending a year. If you divide that, and you're like, well, why would our establishment not take out 1 ounce of rare earth mineral? The Chinese aren't that good to get 98%. No one is allowed to compete. It's a global agreement. So why are we there then? Because we're guarding the whole place so that NATO, and that's who runs the opium, can ship opium all over Europe and Russia and the U.S. The U.S. doesn't get that money. Let's just get down to business. We ain't making that money off that heroin. All we do is pay for it. I mean, let's say we're evil. Okay, give us the money, the U.S. economy for the heroin. Nope, we don't get it. We get to pay for all the people on it and the collapse of society. Oh, do we get any of the money for the rare earth minerals? No, we just get to pay for the entire thing. And Trump is sitting back going, this is the worst deal I've ever seen. But see, it's not bad for the generals and the CEOs who are tied on Chinese boards. Because, see, they see those as their companies. And if they get the U.S. to subsidize controlling the roads and the airports and the train depots to get the Chinese ore out, then it's all a bigger sick joke. American men die. Contractors die. Taxpayers pay for it. Some of the big contractors get some money to line their pockets. And the Chi-Coms get the rare earth minerals to go into their factories where you couldn't even build stuff here if you wanted to because you can't get what you need to make the devices. Did you hear that? See, I said I'd get into Cuomo, but he's up there saying America was never that great. It'll never be great. Or the exact quote is, America has never been great. It'll never be that great. And he's up there at his swearing in saying Trump's causing the exodus from the blue states and cities. That's in the Hill. I looked it up. Do you know when the exodus from the Northeast started? The exodus from the Northeast started at the end of World War II. The end of World War II. And it's been accelerating ever since and actually hit its peak about a decade ago. So Trump has nothing to do with this. Yes, he got rid of the property tax write-off on the income tax for people making over $1 million a year or property over $1 million a year because that's a write-off for the rich. And he's actually trying to fund the country. See, again, pulling us out of wars, raising taxes on rich people. Decriminalizing marijuana. He did it. Gets no credit. Legalizing hemp production. You think the left would be No, he's immoral. He's a bad person. Here's the gangster of New York trying to blame Trump for everyone who's a producer trying to get the hell away from him. You know, he famously said, Cuomo said 2 years ago, if you're a Christian or a gun owner or pro-life, get the hell out. And people said, are you serious? He said, yeah, I'm serious. Get out. Well, you know what, bro? You told them to get out. They're getting out. Here it is.
This is the harbor where Frederick Trump arrived from Germany and whose grandson would become president of the United States.
Governor Andrew Cuomo positioning himself as a...
Yes, and Fred Trump's father, Trump's grandfather, had to stay 3 months on Ellis Island in quarantine on record. 3 months on quarantine. I love how his grandfather came here too, and what the hell? They don't tell you. Yeah, and you get tested for diseases. Let's continue.
Looters during a blackout. They didn't cause the darkness, but they exploited it.
Cuomo enters his third term sounding the same national themes he used to win re-election, riding a blue New York wave of anti-Trump fervor.
When they write the history books and they ask us, well, what did you do in the face of anger and division? Let New York's answer be that in that defining moment, we brought healing and light and hope and progress and action.
The governor denies he's running for president, but this soaring national rhetoric will fuel doubts about that. But what about the unfinished local business Cuomo faces as governor, a crumbling transit system, and culture of corruption in Albany?
I feel liberated.
For the first time in this governor's tenure, Democrats now control all three chambers in Albany. Uncharted territory for Cuomo, who now has no excuse not to deliver on progressive promises, like strengthening abortion rights, legalizing marijuana, and offering free tuition to undocumented students.
Let's stop right there. Yeah, let's bring in more unskilled people, the worst of the worst, the bottom of the barrel from the third world, and then do all that. And then he goes on to say we're in a civil war. He goes on to talk about the blue state exodus and blame Trump and saying that he's doing it all. No, you're doing it. Meanwhile, Congresswoman Cortez, Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee, they're all saying they want reparations for black people. So get ready for that. I mean, the division these folks are creating is insane. All the free stuff they're pushing is even more completely insane. And you add to that the Democrat censorship and everything else they're doing. It is simply mind-blowing. The full clips of Cuomo are up on Infowars.com and Newswars.com. And please don't forget, listeners and viewers, we are fighting back against the censorship and fighting back to restore this republic. And it's still happening despite all the globalist attacks, but only because of you. Word of mouth telling people about Infowars.com and Newswars.com. So please keep doing it.
Breakfast where the news is read, television, children fed, unborn living, living dead, bullet strikes the helmet's head,
and it's all over. You know, InfoWars doesn't have the staff or the crew. We have an amazing crew, we should have a big enough one to be able to, every time we're right about something, go back and then show you how we were right about it. But one area that we really need to do this on is how Paul Watson, myself, Dan Lyman, our EuropeWars.com reporter and others very accurately said Europe is being put into a civil emergency, a national global crisis, to then bring in full UN control and a UN army to deal with the crisis they've created. That has now exactly happened. And how it's meant to make the nation states fail. Now we knew that was the UN plan, so of course we're right. But now you've got the head police in Belgium, and you've got head police in Germany and Sweden and France and top generals saying our governments are run by traitors that want to get rid of the nation states and bring in outside client groups they fully control to checkmate us. And Merkel says, yes, that's true. Last week, we're going to ignore national sovereignty and ignore the voters and have an EU army control you. And then quietly, they arrest 200 officers of the German military because they were planning to overthrow Merkel for treason. Yeah, the Germans tried to overthrow Hitler, too. Wish they would have. And by the way, the EU project was an idea of Adolf Hitler. You can't make this up. Paul Watson is going to join us here in just a moment to go over. Sadiq Khan said 2 years ago when he first got elected the Islamic mayor of London, he said, just get used to it. It's normal. And you know what? I can't keep track of the bus attacks, the car attacks, the knife attacks, the rape attacks, the firework attacks, the hand grenade attacks, and the mass raping and grooming and government allowing it. I can't even keep track anymore. I'm just becoming numb to it. They're winning. Paul lives in London, Stan. We'll talk to him in one moment. But first, all the big specials are going to be over today. I'm so busy focusing on news that I have not come up with new specials. And obviously the new specials will be good, but they're going to be limited because we have almost sold out of everything at InfoWarsStore.com, our entire inventory, because Soros was trying to take our money processors, our banking processors. I had the plan 2 months ago in case they were successful that we had six. They got us down to one. We got some backups now, but still, they're breathing down our neck with the censorship. Hell, they're taking Franklin Graham off Facebook. And now they're saying take churches out, you know, out of banks. We've heard of that, Mark of the Beast. So I said, here's the plan. We'll sell everything at cost or below it. So I don't have to pay inventory tax, because that's a big hit, state and local, federal. They say Texas doesn't have an income tax. Boulder Dash, if you're a business owner and have property or have inventory, you pay a tax on everything you got. That's why you always hear the car ads at the end of the year. They go, everything must go, you know, $5,000 off on a $20,000 car. And you're like, how are you doing that? Because they got to pay a tax of 15-20%, depending on where you live, on that whole price of the car. So they're just getting you to take it off their hands so you don't have to pay that. And you actually get the car at below cost. That is the best deal of the year, is buying a car at the end of the year. Well, we're almost sold out of basically all of our best sellers. And so my goal has been completed. We sold out of the T-shirts in large and extra large, so that's not a free gift now. But this is the last day to get a free gift, free shipping, 50 to 75% off store-wide at InfoWarsStore.com or InfoWarsLife.com on the supplements, on the water filters, air filters, everything. And then it will be over tomorrow. I've just got to come out with the new specials on the limited supply we have. And we do have two new items in stock that are new items that I'm so busy. I haven't cut ads to launch them. And they're such amazing products that I'm not happy with the ads I already cut to promote them. So this is the last day of the best sales we've ever had. Thank you all for your support, but we need your ongoing support. InfoWarsStore.com or 888-253-3139. You need X2. It's the last run of that. You need Super Male Vitality. They just can't get the wildcrafted herbs anymore. They just can't get the ingredients in this anymore and have it still pass California standards. So that's why the product, it's a bestseller. It's our number two bestseller. It's gone. Last run. We cannot get wildcrafted, cold-pressed herbs of this type anymore. It's over. It's all over. Because you just can't get the supply anymore. Like the Lulax or whatever with Dr. Seuss. So the Lulax or what's it called? The point is, InfoWarsStore.com. Now, joining us is Paul Joseph Watson from London, England, on the situation and just the all of the insanity and the craziness and Merkel and everybody saying open borders, in national sovereignty and EU armies and all these latest attacks. What in the world happened over Christmas and New Year's? It seems like a particularly big spasm of Islamic joy terror, or whatever they call it.
Well, yeah, I don't know what you want to hit first, Alex. There's this new tradition in European cities across the continent, on New Year's Eve especially. I mean, they do this most other nights. There you see one example in East London. And I just wrote an article about this. It's going to go up on InfoWars just after I get off the show. But in Molenbeek, Belgium, and this is what they have. This is what we see all the time in these major European cities. Reminder that Molenbeek was where the Paris massacre terrorist Abdeslam hid out for months after the Paris massacre attack, after he'd helped slaughter hundreds of people, being protected by that community, which is a no-go zone in Europe. You'll probably remember I went there with Joe Biggs and Zimmerman, and we were basically chased out of the area. We tried to find a a bar or a pub. There are no bars in Molenbeek. We tried to go in some kind of cafe, and they stopped us at the door and like, no. And then we just got chased out of the town. So there was a huge thing on New Year's Eve where they set a bunch of dumpster fires. They burned down the Christmas tree. And this has been reported in like one Belgian newspaper. They called out the firemen as an excuse to start throwing fireworks and pelting the firemen with stones who had to flee. There were literally houses burning to the ground and they couldn't get to them because the firemen in Molenbeek, in these Islamic no-go areas, need police protection just to do their job. And they still have the nerve, Alex, to say, oh, no-go zones are a right-wing conspiracy theory. This happens every New Year's Eve. They throw fireworks at people in the streets. And then people say to me, oh, what, are you afraid of fireworks? Okay, so I'm going to throw a firework in your face. And you're not going to flinch? You're not going to be a little bit unafraid of that?
Let's be clear. These are the large mortar shells that can blow your arm off. These are big, high-powered airburst types that are supposed to be fired up into the air, being fired like mortars on the ground at a lower trajectory.
Yeah, so now the big fire brigade union in Brussels, remember, this is a major European city, this suburb of which you basically can't go in there as a white person, they'll chase you out. He's saying, we're really tired of this. They call us for fires, and then when we try to help, they pelt us with stones, they pelt us with fireworks. He says, clearly, there's no control that's possible in that neighborhood. We're seeing the growth in the number of these no-go zones, and the areas in which they take up are expanding. So that happened in Saint-Denis in France the other night as well, on New Year's Eve in Paris. 99 vehicles set on fire on just that one night alone. Here we're seeing footage out of Cologne where they were also throwing fireworks at people before assaulting and in some cases raping in the open air hundreds of German women. So this is one of their festivities on New Year's Eve to do this. This is the multiculturalism. This is the great diversity that we've invited into European cities. And it only seems to be accelerating. And then on top of that, we have the terror attacks as well, which I can go on to talk about in a second.
And we'll talk about it all when we come back. We haven't even showed the powerful footage yet. We're going to show it when we come back on the other side, because I saw the footage on Infowars.com of 99 burned cars in one town, burning buildings. I mean, I can't even keep track of this. We can't, as a news organization, even keep track of how insane it is. There it is. 99 vehicles set on fire in migrant-heavy Paris suburb and on New Year's Eve. And here's the key. This is just like any Islamic country. They don't let you come in the country if you're Christian or an outside group or a woman not wearing a veil. And then they congregate in cities and take them over every single time. This is meant to drive you out, drive down property rates so they get control. It's a mafia tactic. It's cancer is what it is. Stay with us.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
The biggest story in the world, day after day, week after week, year after year, is the giant Islamic invasion of the United States, but mainly Europe, and the fact that the UN is openly running it and bringing in almost exclusively military-age men, organizing them, letting them rape, murder, kill, run sex slavery rings, and it just escalates and escalates until Merkel says, we must make the nation states end. We must capitulate. The heart of Europe is Africa. Macron says that. And then the Yellow Vest riot in mass, and he has to back off. Paul, I want to get into what's currently happening from London, England, but boiling this down, the globalists are moving ahead with their open invasion of Europe and the U.S., but it's politically causing a huge awakening, and Hillary's even said, slow down the invasion, you're waking them up. But then Merkel, Macron, the globalists, they just seem to accelerate it and want to use the crisis to bring in their EU army control. So what's the big picture here?
Well, Macron certainly rolled back some of the onerous carbon taxes and things that he was going to propose, so he had to back off a little bit. But again, you know, they've aligned themselves with a force that wants to bring down Western civilization and remodel it in their own image, which is what the globalists want to do as well. So that's why they've made that alliance. The more concerning thing for me, Alex, is not really the terrorism. It's that cultural imposition. It's this idea that integration works. It doesn't work. Like, it only works in middle-class areas where the immigrants come in slowly and are educated. The left still can't seem to grasp that. That's why when you look at all these studies, all the biggest proponents of immigration, politicians, they all live in the areas with the least immigrants. And the immigrants are their nannies and their carers, okay? That's not how it's working. It's working out in places like Molenbeek, where you get chased out of there as a white person, where people are throwing fireworks at firemen, ambulance workers, and so on. And then you have the terrorism, Alex, which we had again in Manchester, obviously seen of the huge Manchester bombing in 2017. A guy, an Islamic terrorist, was stabbing three people, including a police officer. He was saying Allah during the stabbing. There's video of him being arrested, shouting Allah Akbar and, quote, long live the caliphate. During the stabbing, he was talking about Western foreign policy in the Middle East. He was obviously an Islamic terrorist. That was his motive. Sky News, which is like the second biggest news outlet in the UK, they quoted an eyewitness who said that he said Allah during the stabbing, but excised out, omitted that very line. And then they say, oh, police say, authorities say, his motive is unclear. He's literally shouting Allah Akbar. This is for your invasion of the Middle East. Long live the caliphate. It's all on video. And not only do they put the video in their news articles or the broadcast, they excise out the quote from the key eyewitness who said he said Allah. So it's about controlling the language. And, you know, how stupid do they think we are at this point? It's absolutely absurd, Alex.
And again, Paul, we have the screaming for the caliphate, stop bombing us. When, again, Obama and people were bombing to help the caliphate take over against non-radical Muslim regimes and all the rest of this and screaming Allah Akbar. And I saw a bunch of rape cases in the British news where they said a man with a large beard with tan skin, they'll never say an Islamicist. Let's go ahead and play a clip of the Allah Akbar. And here it is. And then he goes on to say, for the caliphate. And now they're moving to actually say that if you report it's a Muslim attack, you're going to be arrested. And we shouldn't joke around. Let's pull up that clip we have of Count Dankula was asked by a U.S. TV station, Spike Television, about why he was in prison. And he told them why he was in prison because he had engaged in a meme. Here's that clip.
I was sitting in the cell, I was catching up with my pal, and eventually it got around to the whole, you know, what you in for thing as it's going around, and like this one guy like violated his bail conditions, one guy assaulted his girlfriend, one guy attacked the police with a knife, and then it got to me and I just sort of had to sit there like, I made a meme. Everyone just started laughing at me.
I'll bet.
Even my friend like turned around at me and went, see if you do go to jail, don't tell people that.
A Curious Case of the Nazi Pug. That's Spike TV. Paul, continuing here, I mean, we have, instead of the globalists backing off, they're intensifying their operations and arresting people that criticize their daughters being kidnapped and raped.
Yeah, I mean, I do stories every month out of Sweden where they literally go and scoop up pensioners and then interrogate them in police stations if they post joke memes about Islam on Facebook. Meanwhile, their sexual assaults are skyrocketing. They've got grenade attacks. They've got all these firework attacks and nobody does anything about it. This one in Manchester, oh, by the way, you mentioned the tanned complexion thing earlier. This was a 14-year-old girl who was raped in Burnley outside a shopping center a few days ago. Burnley being a main, you know, Islamic no-go area. Many areas of Burnley are like that. They've had rape gang problems there as well. So a 14-year-old girl gets raped. The culprit is still on the loose. And the newspapers, the media, and the police say it was a man with a beard with a tanned complexion. Those are the words, a tanned complexion. So what, Alex? Has he recently returned from holiday? Like, has he been under a sunbed too long? It's like, now we can't even say Asians anymore. That was the politically correct term they used before. It's like, what, was he South Korean? Chinese? No. Now we can't even say Asian. Now we have to say tanned complexion. In Germany, they say Southerners. He was Southern looking. It's beyond absurdity at this point.
Let me ask you this. It's building towards a head. It's a planned world government invasion program. They bring the worst people in from these countries and then green light them to commit all the crimes they want. The older Islamic gangs are now forcibly recruiting the new Islamic gangs. I saw this headline last week, migrants being abused by German gangs. And I knew before I read it, it's going to be Muslim gangs taking control of the new Muslim gangs. And sure as hell it was, but the headline was how Germans, Paul, were oppressing the poor Muslims. But no, it was Muslims inducting all the fresh meat into their crime operations of sex, slavery, drug dealing, murder, you name it.
Yeah, which again goes back to the underlying it all is their supreme hypocrisy. It's like when I went to Dresden to cover Bilderberg for InfoWars, and all the migrants came in because they had a migrant camp nearby, and everyone we talked to, all the taxi drivers, were like, yeah, they deal drugs and they run women. Not very Islamic, is it? So not only are they very harmful, they're very hypocritical in that they're not supposed to
do it to their women, but we're subhuman. Yeah. So then anything that happens to us is okay.
Yeah, and that, obviously in the Quran, they could lie to the infidels, so it doesn't matter to them. But yeah, like what is it coming to? It's coming to a head. You had France's former interior minister, Gerard Collomb, said in an interview that we reported on about a month ago, it's basically going to be civil war. You had troops in France 2 years ago training to retake territory within French cities. That came out. So they're literally training for civil war. All this yellow vest stuff is just an hors d'oeuvre for that. And that's what it's going to come to. When these areas grow bigger and bigger and when they become more and more radicalized, which they are, you'd see more and more people wearing hijabs. They're not becoming westernized. The exact opposite is happening. So the situation's only going to get, you know, more acerbic and more in your face. And if you've got top interior ministers saying, yeah, it's going to be civil war within 5 years, you know, I think we should pay attention to that.
But what about the French top general saying this is treason, Macron could be arrested, and Macron's been hiding out on a private island? I mean, that's what this is. This is treason against the West. This is a takeover.
Well, exactly. But then Angela Merkel, her approval rating collapsed to what was it? Lower than 30%. And she still got up and said, no, you must sacrifice your national sovereignty for globalism. These people, their ideology is being completely rejected, Alex. Today, you've got left-wing groups in Germany saying they're going to start their own yellow vest movement. So either way, populism is going to turf them out of office. And their ideas are going to be on the ash heap of history. It's whether it's too late, whether we've invited too many in to go back.
Exactly.
On that.
That's why they've got another big migrant horde coming up the UN's funding out of Honduras. Because they want to break our system and then signal, hey, rush the gates to totally bring it down. And then the globalists think they'll get away with this. They're just crazy, Paul.
Yeah, and again, it's all about controlling the language. If you control the language and then you threaten people with arrest for using certain words and talking about certain subjects, then that's how you intimidate people into not speaking out against this. By the way, they've arrested the Manchester terrorist who shouted Allah Akbar, long live the caliphate, on mental health grounds. Isn't that a surprise?
So I guess any terrorist, including 9/11 people involved in that whole operation, I guess they're just mentally ill. Well, of course Hitler's mentally ill. Doesn't mean we don't hang his ass up if we get our hands on him. Paul, do one more segment with me. I'm going to get big picture with you about Trump.
Of course, mommy's going to help cut your testicles off. Oh, it's so liberal to brainwash your five-year-old and tell them they're a girl if they're a boy. They're a boy if they're a girl. It's so liberal. All right, let's get serious.
Final segment with Paul Watson. But I've got, when I say huge news, intergalactic level Gigantor coming up next segment. And then Roger Stone has huge news. I hate to have to go after Dr. Jerome Corsi, but there's some chicanery going on, so we're going to do it. But Paul, big picture, looking at Trump and this whole situation and looking at how he's pulling out of these countries or trying to, and they're trying to block him. The story is the belligerency of the bureaucracy in both parties. Where do you see things going for Trump or America or the world? I see good things internationally. I see populism, nationalism awakening. But at the same time, 2019, what do you think it holds?
Well, they're obviously going to pop the debt bubble and blame it on Trump. I mean, that's what James Howard Kunstler said yesterday, we had an article on that. Obviously, they've inflated this debt bubble. They're going to have to go back to quantitative easing and money printing, and then that's going to be blamed on Trump when people's pension funds start getting wiped out because of the collapse of the dollar. So how soon that happens, many people think is going to happen this year. But they're going to blame it all on populism, despite the fact that it's been decades of neoliberal economic policy that's created that environment. We're going to get the blame for it, Alex. It's going to be Trump. It's going to be the populist movement. So that's what I see happening with Trump. Some of his supporters have thrown the baby out with the bathwater. Even if Trump achieved 30% of what he promised to do, his agenda, then that's way better than what we would have got with Hillary. But some people, just because he hasn't got the wall through, you know, in his first term yet, they've thrown the baby out with the bathwater and now think that he's, you know,
well, that's just because they actually want to join the left and get promoted on social networks. If conservatives attack Trump, they suddenly get promoted everywhere. So they're getting their 20 pieces of silver. But you mentioned it. Cuomo, the governor of New York, is blaming Trump for exoduses out of blue cities. That's been going on for 40 years, Paul.
Yeah, completely. But you've got a lot of people predicting civil unrest. I mean, people predict it every year. So it's to what degree it's going to happen. Interesting, you also had jailed Russian businessman Viktor Bout, who said that a revolution is inevitable because basically the justice system in America has been completely weaponized, completely politicized against Trump and against any of his supporters. So he thinks that Trump supporters are not going to settle for that if they actually try to get him on anything but the Mueller investigation. So that's going to be the breaking point if Mueller actually comes up with anything, you know, impeach worthy, if they at least attempt to do it. How will Trump supporters, how will Americans react to that? So a lot of people see potential civil disorder. And as we reported, Trump himself mentioned that both privately and publicly. So I think that's going to dominate the headlines in 2019, potentially.
No, that's right. Trump has publicly said that there'd be an uprising. He's privately said it'll be an armed uprising. And I'm not looking for that. I don't want that. It's the left everywhere saying, generals need to overthrow him. Let's start killing Trump supporters. And they're just crazy because they're, as a profession, they're not even warriors. And to watch the wimp class salivate over war with a bunch of hardworking people and also killers is you really got to wonder, Paul, they're always saying civil unrest. We have civil unrest all over the world. We have Islamic invasions. We have the yellow vest. I mean, I think the predictions of major civil unrest in 2019 are dead on.
Well, we've heard it before. And again, it was predicted before there was massive civil unrest throughout Europe. So again, it's to what degree you think. People have normalcy bias and they think that everything's going to remain stable and calm and nothing really out of the ordinary is going to happen. Well, history tells us otherwise, Alex, and I think we're coming to the crux of a really important intersection in the immediate future of the world right now.
Well said, Paul. Well said. You host the fourth hour every Tuesday. You're going to be hosting more shows with us. David Knight's had his heart attack, but gotten some stents, gotten better thanks to everybody's prayers. And but you got the morning show. You're going to be popping in on that as well. Being co-hosted by a roundtable of groups here at InfoWars, like Harrison Smith and others. All right. Thank you so much, PJW. We'll be right back.
Mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the InfoWars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade in downtown Dallas. The first reports say that President Kennedy has been seriously wounded by this shooting.
It is a big idea, a new world order.
is almost as if it were a planned implosion. It just pancakes.
Either you are with us, or you are with the terrorists.
I believe a lot of gun owners would agree that AK-47s belong in the hands of soldiers, not in the hands of criminals.
Guns will be taken,
and no one will be able to be armed. We will take all guns.
For many of the police and guard troops, it is an uncomfortable job to do this in an American city.
Is global governance at last? Is it one world? The central bankers in charge. But aren't we all just living and dying for what the central banks do?
As for me, give me liberty or give me death!
Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
All right. We're well into the second hour of the first live show I've done of 2019. It is January 2nd, 2019. I'm your host, Alex Jones. Everyone knows that I'm not an infighter. I don't go after other talk show hosts or other media people that are patriots and try to hurt them unless I know they're full of crap. And I've been interviewed Dr. Jerome Corsi for at least 16, 17 years, and he's a smart guy. Three times he's had number one New York Times bestsellers. And he's put out a lot of accurate information. I don't have people on that are involved in disinfo. That's why the media is always saying, Jones admits he's an actor. Everywhere. Just thousands and thousands of publications over the years. Every major news show has said it. Do they show a clip of me saying it? No. Because they know absolutely well that I try to tell the truth. And I get things accurate probably more often than anybody else. Except maybe somebody like Matt Drudge. And I'm not kissing Matt Drudge's butt because he links to our article sometimes. I'm kissing his butt because I thank God there's somebody out there like him. You know, I don't have time. That's a whole other subject. Well, I'll get into Corsi at the bottom of the hour and some other issues. It's just that Stone wrote a piece for InfoWars, and I don't normally review pieces in great detail if I trust the writer, but I did review it because I don't like to get involved in infighting. And it just deals with the treachery of Jerome Corsi. And it's true, because I was there. I don't just defend Roger Stone. We've been sued and attacked and boycotted because I have Roger Stone on. I've been attacked, demonized, lied about because I support the president. So I'm not like trying to do things. I'm not trying to do things to curry favor with the establishment. I'm trying to curry favor with God. Seriously. But at the same time, I don't like going after people. But it's a bigger story than just the latest, as the media has been phrasing it, squabble between Roger Stone and Jerome Corsi. You know, Stone sent me the article last Sunday for review, Roger Stone, the treachery of Jerome Corsi. And I printed it off. I read it. I was going to greenlight him to post it on Monday. I just forgot. And since then, just Stone posting something on Instagram is in thousands of publications, all over CNN, all over Fox News, without his full statement, because I accidentally sat on it. But my attempts here are not to just get in the news cycle. My attempts are to change the world for the better for my children and your children. That should always be our goal. And to bring more light into the world than you bring darkness, because none of us are perfect. But that's coming up bottom of the hour. I've got a story so big here that, A, I have to be careful about what I say. And, B, this is the incredible, when I say incredible, I mean super incredible world we live in, where things are so volatile. And it's the type of stuff that got Andrew Breitbart killed. So I will be judicious, and I will cover the story when we go to the next break and come back. I haven't been pushing it back for 30 minutes on purpose. I just get busy and get behind. We will cover this when we come back. And this morning when I got up at 5 a.m. and fired up Infowars.com and moseyed over to NewsWars.com and then DrudgeReport.com, I ended up spending about an hour just researching this to just refresh my memory and make sure I was right about what I thought about this. This is a, let me do the Rush Limbaugh thing. This is big right here. This is big trillion pound enchilada stuff right here. And not just this, but what it signifies. So that's coming up in the next segment. Now, another issue. And this isn't an issue about inside baseball. This is an issue about you realizing how powerful you are. I've always thought just cover big issues, talk about the facts on air, and the general public will hear about it. They'll become informed and educate the public at large, and tyranny will vanish like phantoms at dawn, to quote Thomas Jefferson. And to a certain extent, that's been true. But man, since I started trying to actually call members of Congress or actually lobby the president for freedom or actually reach out to other talk show hosts and schmooze. Because here's the thing, I'm on air, but I'm very reclusive in private life just because I'm working all the time. So there is no schmoozing, there is no phone calls. It's been very limited over the years. But since they didn't just try to censor me, but before that, the last few years I began to reach out. And I began to show up at people's offices. And the results have been spectacular. Now, you know the thing about Fight Club. The number one rule about Fight Club is don't talk about Fight Club. And the number two rule about Fight Club is don't talk about Fight Club. So when I began 2 years ago to hear privately about Matt Drudge going to the White House, going to other areas, meeting with Trump, advising him, advising others, it's almost like when you hear about Jared Kushner doing some diplomatic coup, a lot of times it's Drudge involved. Kind of like Drudge is the guy that got me on Piers Morgan. Or it's like that Ozzy Osbourne song about the wizard, never talking, just keeps walking, spreading his magic. And I realized Drudge is amazing, but not just online. And I knew all this a couple of years ago, but then I spent a few hours, like a week ago, going back and refreshing my memory. Drudge has been all over getting Rand Paul and Trump together to now be morally anti-war and to save his trillions, to reboot the country and take care of the veterans. And so then, so I knew this, but I didn't focus on it. A whole nother facet. And this isn't an exercise, again, in kissing Matt Drudge's ass. It's an exercise in recognizing what people are doing that's effective out there and appreciating that in the wider universe. Keeping praise on it isn't just some narcissistic exercise. You know, if we don't praise what the gods of media have done, those gods fade away. So that's a really, really good thing. The point is, Trump has a conscience. He can be reached. That's why the globalists are so upset. And Matt Drudge is doing a lot behind the scenes, not just at DrudgeReport.com.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones.
All right, we know that the official story of 9/11 has more holes in it than Swiss cheese. And we know that Saudi Arabia was involved. We know that there was an NORAD stand down. That's come out in the 28 pages. And so there's a story up on Infowars.com of the greatest import today, dealing with hackers hacking into law firms that are involved in suits against and suits for 9/11 victims with documents that they've gotten in discovery. Because see, what the lawyers do is they get all the evidence of the stand down, the evidence of the culpability, to then use that as leverage to get payouts for their clients. So here's the Zero Hedge article, ZeroHedge.com, up on NewsWars.com and Infowars.com. And this is a big deal. Not just this story, but how hackers can get into these systems and then use it. And then the fact that Trump has said, look out, I'll release the 9/11 info on the Clintons and the Bushes. And Trump has come out and said there's more than one way to declassify your illegal spying on me and how you funded the Taliban and Al-Qaeda and now ISIS. And I've said for a good year, Trump should just, through patriots in U.S. intelligence agencies that already have all this, put it out as if they're hackers. And then have the cover story that they're putting a ransom out to these companies. But really, it's just a way to bring attention to it and then release it. Because they can't release it. These law firms, no matter what happens, they're not going to release it. They'll get payoffs in the back, in my view, because you cannot release it. It's too damning. Bombs in the buildings, you know, black ops, all of it. So pay the F up. That's the headline. Hackers threaten to dump secret 9/11 attack files if Bitcoin ransom not met. We'll be providing many answers about 9/11 conspiracies through our 18,000 secret documents leak from Et, Hiscox, Comms, and others. A hacking collective known as the Dark Overlord. Wonder who that is. Sorry. On New Year's Eve, that it had broken into the computer systems. They already have it all. This is parallel construction. Only the government will understand the stuff I'm saying, but that's who this is for. Sorry, let me control myself. Hold on. A little bit of glee here. Just have a little bit of a mental orgasm. Let me stop. A hacking collective known as the Dark Overlords, or Patriots in U.S. Intelligence, announced on New Year's Eve that it had broken into the computer systems. You mean they had it all day one, of the law firm and obtained files related to the September 11th attacks. What did I tell you about a month ago? You can go pull the interviews up. I said, get ready for all the 9/11 stuff to come out. Oh, but of course, the president's not involved. Listen, I'm telling the president and everybody else, release everything now. Just battle slay them. We need to crush them. The avalanche is unstoppable. Forget playing games. Fire at will. Let's go. Let's get it on. My God, we're on the attack here. Let's stop playing games. We have them. But when you have someone, you've got to pull the trigger. How long does that be in our sights? Pull the trigger. Pull the trigger. Pull the trigger. On the pedophilia and on the terrorism, everything. Give it to them. I've dealt with these mentally ill people, and they don't understand defeat, even when it's staring them in the eyes. So just give them the defeat they want. A hacking collective, it's begun. That's why Trump said, enjoy yourself. He says, strap yourselves in, get ready for a ride, and enjoy yourselves. A hacking collective known as the Dark Overlord announced on New Year's Eve that it had broken into the computer systems of a law firm that obtained files related to the September 11th attacks. You know, I can spend about an hour just on what Dark Overlord means. It's not saying they're dark. Overlord was the invasion of Normandy against Hitler. Overlord means there's good people overlording the darkness. It means overriding the dark is what that means if you flip it. A hack collective known as the Dark Overlord announced on New Year's Eve that it had broken into the computer systems of the law firm and obtained files related to the September 11th attacks, threatening to publicly release a large cache of internal files unless a hefty ransom is paid. That's all just the cover. And folks don't mind I'm telling you this, because they'll just disregard whatever I say, but all of you out there will understand. Dark Overlord demands targeted several insurers and legal firms, including Lloyd's of London, Silverstein Properties, Building 7, and Hiscox Syndicates. It is unclear what exact files were stolen by the group. However, the hacking collective tweeted, we'll be providing many answers about 9/11 conspiracies throughout our 18,000 secret documents leaks from Et, Hiscox, Comms, and others. The full article is on InfoWars.com. But I told you, because Trump was not involved in all this. He went on television the day after and 6 days after 9/11 and said there were bombs in the buildings. Should we cue it up and play it again for you? And they blew it up. It should be investigated. See, he didn't have the power then to stop this, but just like he told Jeb Bush, your dad stood down on 9/11, dropped out next day. Told Ted Cruz, your dad's CIA, dropped out next day. See, only certain people in the end game are clean. You guys aren't. You all come from families that serve the system. There's only certain groups that at the final round, there's no dirt. There's no dirt on Trump. There's no dirt on what? Women? There's nothing. Because we don't child molest like you. We don't devil worship. I'm not saying Ted Cruz. I'm talking about other people. You are the bad guys. Hiscox Syndicates, LTD, and Lloyd's of London are some of the biggest insurers on the planet, insuring everything from the smallest policies to some of the largest policies on the planet, who even insures truckers as the World Trade Centers. Oh, yeah. And boy, that was a big fight. At first, that very insurance company, subsidiary of Lloyd's, talked about bombs in the buildings and the collapse rate. But now all the internal documents are ours. According to a spokesperson for the Hiscox Group, the hackers had breached the law firm which advised the company and likely stolen the files of litigation tied to 9/11 attacks. Yeah, because the very groups involved in 9/11, not the lawyers, of course, but the clients, some of them, were going to make money not just on the insurance, but then on the other end against the Saudis, blackmailing them for their involvement, but when it was deep state, using them as the fall guy. And now, certain little birdies, little tweeties, had advised, release the 9/11 system on them, release the Kraken. And I'm just telling you, this is exciting. This is the stuff that victory's made of. Of course, the president has nothing to do. Why just release the documents through Congress? They're all crapping themselves. Oh, hackers are going to release it now. Yes! Yes! You know, there's a headline, Roger Stone, the treachery of Jerome Corsi. I didn't write that headline. It's a fine headline. But I would just say Roger Stone, public statement. Roger Stone believes that Jerome Corsi is working for Mueller in an elaborate ruse. And I have to agree with that. And I'm very, very sad about that. So as soon as we get Roger hooked up on the line, we're having some Skype problems. We'll get him on here. Here is Paul Joseph Watson's latest article up on Infowars.com. Firemen flee after being attacked by migrant youths, that's Islamic youths, in multicultural Molenbeek, where they can't even firefight anymore when they burn everything down. That's a powerful article on Infowars.com and Newswars.com, and only you can get that out. A new article up on Infowars.com by Mike Adams. Whole Foods pulls off elaborate 5-year GMO labeling hoax, lies to customer in hopes nobody remembers. Yeah, that's why. They were told 5 years ago that Bezos would buy it if they could just stop being organic. And now they're totally unorganic. It's all a giant fraud. Whole Foods is a complete joke. Virtue signaling fraud. Big article on that front. But getting back to where I was, regardless of who's behind this hack of Silverstein Properties. Sorry. By the way, I forgot to tell the crew during the break. Will you pull up Trump talks about bombs in the World Trade Center? We should probably play that again. When we say inside job, we're not saying firefighters or police blew the building up. We're not saying our general military knew about it. But there's an alliance between criminals in our government and radical Islam and the previous regime in Saudi Arabia. And I'm not even defending this new regime. We're just hoping Trump's brought them to heel. I'm going to respect the president and think for now that that's the case, so they're not the enemy. Iran is pissing in our face. They are the enemy. I respect Trump. I trust Trump. He's delivered. You see how upset the establishment is over him. That's why you know he's real. But there's major geopolitical things going on right now. And this story, pay the F up, hackers threaten to dump secret 9/11 files if Bitcoin ransom not met. That's just a way to put the story out there about what they've got. Because the president's going to get under a lot of heat if he releases all this, obviously, but he's got to do it through hackers, or let's just say patriots have to. But this is exactly what I've advised. Man, why doesn't Mueller come subpoena me about that? I have advised that the president and patriots of the deep state use hacking mechanisms outside of WikiLeaks and simply begin these operations. Don't demand money. Just hack the information and release it. And see how the globalists like it. And, of course, the answer is they don't like it. But, see, the gloves are off. And if we let a bunch of psychologically hobbled, twisted scumbags in the Democratic Party run our lives, we deserve what we get. Oh, by the way, there's this whole thought process out there that, oh, there's balance like Baphomet, as above, so below. And that, you know, we can't have the nationalists too strong and we can't have the liberals too strong. So let's play this game. The globalist leftist movement wants to destroy competition, destroy the upwardly mobile, destroy the middle class, and wants a monopoly over the planetary activity. They're the enemy. Balance? We're way out of balance. If you've subscribed to that thought process, we need a real president. We need real sovereignty. We need prosperity. We need a middle class. We need to support development worldwide. We do not want globalism. You know, I've noticed humans don't communicate anymore, and I'm not mad about it. I'm not mad. Not mad at all. But I notice, like, people communicate via text message, but they don't talk verbally. And it's a big new crisis we're dealing with as a civilization. Roger Stone's coming up next segment. We'll go to him then, because I'm going to get that. Before I go to him, I'm going to get that in my ear. Roger Stone is ready, because I need to keep that archaic form of human communication going. Just like I need to have that archaic form of human communication going on so many fronts. So until that happens, I'm not going to Roger. I've got to hear Roger is ready. We've got Roger. No, I'm not mad. I'm not mad. Just this is his thing. So we'll go to him next segment. We're going to have him on with us. It's, you know, the ritual of being on air when a guest comes on late and then no one tells you they're there and you're asking over and over again, are they there? Are they there? Are they there? And then it's like this thing of, well, you can see them, right? And I'm not mad about it. No, I can't. I can't see them. So we'll just do it all live on air from now on. Everything. Every damn bit of my life will just be hanging out here on air, because that's what's going to happen every time now. Because we have to communicate person to person again. We have to talk to people. The answer is talking to people instead of just not talking to people over and over and over and over and over again and pretending that we ever talked to somebody when we didn't talk to anybody. That's what it comes down to. Now, I'm going to get back to the story. Pay the F up. Hackers threatened to dump secret 9/11 attack files if Bitcoin ransom not met. And you get into this, it's not the story of the ransom. It's the story of Silverstein Properties, the Democrats, these law firms that made money on the insurance they made on 9/11 for double what the buildings were worth, Tower 1, 2, 7, 6, and 5. And then suing the Saudis for more money after it happened, getting money on both sides. That's Trump's secret weapon. And that's what we've been calling for over and over and over and over again. Why should Trump just release the fake FISA warrant, and he's being spied on during the campaign, and Democrats were doing it to stop him politically. Yeah, that's powerful. But why not just have it all leaked out there by U.S. intelligence agencies that are patriots and not the globalist traitors, and have all that put out and be able to respond to that? We're going to go to break and talk to Roger Stone about the whole waterfront, Jerome Corsi, the latest on Mueller, is the investigation really about to be over, and so much more. But first, we have a year-end special that is extended now into the second day of 2019, because I have been such a busy beaver that I have not had time, I have not had the inclination, I have not had the energy to come up with new specials, mainly because we're about to sell out of every major product we've got. The plan to sell stuff at cost has been a success thanks to you. We still have store-wide free shipping. We still have double Patriot points that are 5 cents on every dollar, 10 cents on every dollar, on every new order for your next order. We still have 50-75% off store-wide, and we still have a free gift. The T-shirts sold out in sizes large and extra large, so it's now a new free gift, but a bottle of X2, a bottle of Brain Force. I mean, it is a big free gift in there. And so you get the benefits of a year-end sale a few days into the new year because we have not come up with new specials yet. I have not come up with new specials yet. So I want to thank you all for your support, and I really mean that. I want to thank you all for your future support. But let me just tell you something. I don't have time with what we're covering to get into each item or each product. If it's our turmeric, or if it's our iodine, or if it's our sleep aid, or if it's our nootropic brain pill, whatever the best research is, whatever the very best, cleanest products are, whatever the biggest seller that's the hottest thing out there that everybody loves, that's what we sell you because we treat you like we want to be treated. So whatever it is, our bone broths, light years ahead of the competitors, our toothpaste, fluoride-free, iodine, colloidal silver fortified, it's light years ahead of the others. Whatever it is, it's the best at InfoWarsStore.com. And I want to thank you all for your support. And it's your last chance to take advantage of the biggest sales in our history at InfoWarsStore.com or 888-253-3139. We'll be right back with Roger Stone with bombshell information. Stay with us.
It's amazing how you can speak right to my heart. Without saying a word, you can light up the dark.
You know why the Democrats are having some major victories? Because they're ruthless criminals, that's why. Because we keep thinking they're dealing in good faith. They're not. They mean to take over society and culture. Roger Stone joins us. You know, they're going out and targeting anybody that supported Trump, anybody that was involved in him winning 2016, and they're lying about him. They're suing him. They're trying to indict him. They're trying to put him in prison. So with that said, I don't say this with any pleasure. You've seen the national headlines. Oh, Dr. Corsi and Roger Stone are in a fight. No, they're not in a fight. Of course, he acts like, oh, I won't lie, and all of that is a smokescreen for what he's saying about Roger Stone. And how do I know it's a lie? Because I was working with both these guys during the campaign and squeezing them both to get Assange on. Tell that jerk, why do you go on every damn show but ours when we support what you're doing, but you go on Fox News and CNN and the New York Times and the London Guardian? What's your problem? They'll hang your ass out to dry, which they did. So I was there. I was there when he said, well, Roger said, I've got a New York talk show host who knows some of their lawyers, and he might be able to get a question into him. It was that hysteria that makes me feel pathetic now, how he chased after Julian Assange, who I still think is a great guy, but then to be blamed as Russian agents for trying to talk to somebody that talked to everyone else in the world and hasn't been shown any Russian connections, that vapor, that con, that fraud becomes Roger Stone lied to the congressional hearing. But I deal with this myself every day where I look at what I actually said versus what they said. It's totally different. So I don't go after Corsi with any pleasure. I go after Corsi in this article, Roger Stone, the treachery of Jerome Corsi, up on Infowars.com. I'm going to change the headline, though, to make it even more truthful. This is not deceptive, but it's just, you know, beyond truthful, super truthful. Roger Stone responds to his belief that Corsi's working for Mueller. I mean, that's basically what this comes down to. And when I saw Corsi last, and he worked here about a year. I let him go right after it happened. We're at a steakhouse in D.C. Don't even know Corsi's going to be there. He stumbles by drunk off his ass. I go over, invite him to our table. He starts talking massive crap about me, Roger, everybody. It's very embarrassing. And then my security detail had to help him to his hotel across the street. He was falling down on the ground. They said, should we call an ambulance? I said, no. That was my last interaction with Corsi. Before that, he shows up at my office with some guy named Colonel Sanders, literally like Colonel Sanders, and said, we're here to take over InfoWars. And Roger was here, and I was like, no, we're not doing this. Bye-bye, Colonel Sanders. So I looked at Roger. I said, this guy's a lunatic now. So that's why I have no respect for Corsi now, because he's definitely like fruit. His expiration date is hit. I don't know. A worm got laid in his butt. I don't know. But Russiagate in 2018, now 2019, comes down to Roger Stone, no Russian collusion, nothing by Trump, Michael Cohen and his taxi cab company, nothing with Trump. It all focuses in on, did Roger Stone give a cover story to Jerome Corsi about how they got WikiLeaks ahead of time, and did he perjure himself? And that's why he's here now. And that's why we have to cover it. So, Roger, thanks for coming on. We'll do a few segments. Sorry we got you on late, but I'm glad you're here with us. I don't take any pleasure about this with Corsi, but this is amazing.
Well, first of all, Alex, I want to thank you. I woke up this morning literally with no voice at all, and it is only because of Silver Bullet, which really is, I think, the very best product available at the Infowars.ca. I've been hitting this on the hour, and my voice is coming back. I feel better. I highly recommend folks go to the Infowars.com store now. This is the best colloidal silver product sold in the United States today. Stuff works. It's brought me back from the brink, I must tell you. I saw an interview with WJLA, Armstrong Williams, in which Jerry Corsi said that the special counsel had suggested to him that the basis for my famous tweet, the Podesta's time in the barrel will come, was some kind of cover story. Cover story for what? Days before that tweet, Jerry Corsi pointed out to me several public locations where you could see extensive documented information regarding the Podesta brothers' lucrative Russian business dealings. He subsequently...
And I understand you're going over the history again. Everybody heard it 5,000 times. Well, they were there when it happened. They know it. The point is, this whole thing of Mueller's trying to make me lie, I won't lie, and then he tells the lie. It's clearly this thing to give credibility to the final piece that you got WikiLeaks, it was the Russians. This is so damn obvious.
It's exactly right. The point is, he was perfectly willing to bear false witness against me on multiple points that are complete fabrications. It was only when they said, oh yeah, Jerry, and you're going to have to plead guilty to giving Stone Podesta's emails to make it all stick. Well, I never got John Podesta's emails. I never had advanced knowledge that they were stolen. It's whole cloth. It's a setup. So people need to know what Dr. Corsi is really up to here. It's disgraceful. It really is disgraceful. But I know the truth, and that's why I keep saying, release my testimony. You know, Alex, I'm not even allowed to have a copy of my 4.5 hours of closed-door sworn testimony. My lawyers are not allowed to have a copy. They're allowed to examine it, but they're not even allowed to take notes. They'd have to go to a secure room in the U.S. House of Representatives and memorize portions of it. How is this fair? I've called on Devin Nunes. Release the testimony. All it will prove is that Adam Schiff is the liar and that I am the one to...
Sure. And look, everybody wants to slit their wrists when they hear the fake Russia thing. We're pro-America. Trump's pro-America. The globalists hate us. Everybody knows we're not Russian agents. Here's the problem. They got prosecutors. They'll try to use that to put you in jail, me in jail, everybody else made up on this. But the fact that Corsi at the final day, we now know what the end of the tunnel is. We can announce the end of the Russia investigation is perjury, as you predicted 2 years ago. Of course, he's saying that you somehow did get stuff from WikiLeaks when they wouldn't give us the time of day. And, you know, it's not cool to go, hey, we're such pieces of crap with the establishment that we were never given the damn time of day when Assange gave thousands of interviews, that we are literally the lowest forms of whale crap. And then we get blamed with these master Svengalis that have all the damn answers to the universe. It makes me sick. So that's why this is such a big deal, is that he's supposed to release his new report in a month, early February, Mueller, and we now know it's all you, and that, oh, he did get the WikiLeaks. Well, let's just say you did, which you didn't. It's Hillary talking about race war. It's Hillary in bed with the Russians. I just love how they've changed the subject, Roger Stone, from their treason to you, a journalist, trying to get it. It just, and then Corsi with this elaborate BS of how they're pressuring him and he won't lie. Oh, but, you know, and then this made up crap about cover stories for WikiLeaks, when WikiLeaks would not give us the freaking time of day. I was there. I wrote the emails with you. I will not be blamed for something, and I will not watch you blamed, because obviously you've been an albatross around my neck, Roger, which is fine. But I've been persecuted because of my involvement with you. That's fine. I'm not a wimp. I don't, because you're not a bad guy and I like you. And I'm not bitching about it. The point is that I will not sit there and watch some piece of crap Russian agent like Mueller accuse you and me of being goddamn. I said I wouldn't do it. Laura, I apologize. Accuse me of something I haven't done. I'm sick of it. And in fact, if I'm found any Russian involvement, I should be hung from the neck until dead. But I didn't deliver uranium on tarmacs to the Russians. I didn't sell the damn country out to the Islamists. I am not the traitor, and I'm sick of hearing it. I am the American. I am 1776. And if people don't accept that and pull it in and support it, then all of you have given into the damn evil. I cannot believe how these anti-American globalists that say get rid of our country, Roger, turn this around and somehow turn it into how those of us that are patriotic are the bad guys. How outrageous is this?
You know, part of this, of course, is that the mainstream media is extraordinarily angry about the fact that time after time after time, we have broken the news here at InfoWars. We have been two steps ahead of them on developments in this administration, and that drives them particularly crazy. So what you have here is liberal Democrats in the House working hand in glove with their handmaidens in the mainstream media to distort, to recycle the same garbage over and over and over again. It is not any more tedious for anyone other than me, believe me.
We'll be right back with the next hour. We're going to put the phones up. Roger Stone, Rush. By the way, Kanye West has made new Trump statements. They're at InfoWars.com. We'll be covering it coming up in a segment. Roger, I'll talk about this next segment with you, then I'll let you go, and I'm going to open the phones up for the balance of the broadcast. But we've got hackers that have broken into Larry Silverstein's law firm about the insurance and about Building 7. And I'm just saying, if I was the president, why go through the declassification process? Just have people release it, which we know folks can do. Looks like that's happening now. He's got a lot of cards to play that are outside of their orthodoxy. And like Trump said, just sit back and relax. He seems very confident about what he's about to do.
Well, he looks to me like a man who knows what cards he's holding. He just hasn't shown them yet. And I still think he has the whip hand. Meanwhile, you have these Democrats off to the races. First of all, who announces their candidacy on New Year's Day? No one in their right mind. The worst news day in the world. And then a front page story today on Joe Biden. Now, Alex, I read the story twice. No mention of the fact that Joe Biden's son got $1.5 billion for his investment fund from the Chinese the day after Joe Biden left China. Just think if that had been Donald Trump Jr., it would have been in the headline. So the fake New York Times, once again, already beginning to cover up for the Democrats as they try to prop up what I think is an extraordinarily weak field of candidates to take on Donald Trump.
Let's finish up on Mueller. I mean, they admit he has nothing. What do you expect in his final report?
You know, it's very, very hard to see. You notice the way in the Michael Cohen matter, they took the Russian real estate deal and tried to elevate that simply to get the word Russia into the headline for the more casual reader and viewer who then looks at it and says, oh, well, they have Trump on something regarding Russia. No, nothing illegal there. I think more and more Americans know, and I think they're about to find out graphically, that the whole Russian collusion narrative was meant to be a distraction from their illegal use of FISA warrants to spy on Donald Trump's campaign and their illegal use of the FBI to infiltrate Donald Trump's campaign, including the use of an agent named Henry Greenberg, who was sent to me in May of 2016 in an attempt to compromise Donald Trump and myself. So that is where the deep state does not want to go. And that's what will come out of this. They are the criminals. They are covering up.
So let me ask you this question. We'll come back more and talk about it. But what's going to happen with Mueller destroying evidence? Giuliani pointed out that's criminal.
It's a superb question. I keep wondering what Acting Attorney General Matthew Whitaker is doing. I'm not sure what he is waiting for. You're right. The president's kind of like a Cheshire cat. He's sitting back there holding his cards. He knows what they are. What I don't understand is when he is going to play them. Remember, Devin Nunes has the security clearance to have seen all this material. He has literally begged the president publicly to make it all clear. My guess, and this is conjecture, but pretty good based on the Peter Stroke emails, it goes all the way to the top. Not believable that Susan Rice and John Brennan and James Clapper were illegally using FISA warrants to spy on Americans who were working for Donald Trump without the approval of the big enchilada himself, Barack Obama.
And that's why the whole deep state is in such a tizzy right now. I want to come back and forecast then how you see Russiagate ending, the next cards you see them playing, Roger, and then first broadcast of the year. I'm going to open the phones up to take your calls, ladies and gentlemen, to give us your take on what you think President Trump should do and where you think this country's going. 877-789-ALEX, 877-789-2539. All this and more straight ahead. Infowars.com, tomorrow's news today.
Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's Alex Jones.
All right, Roger Stone, the man of the year, 2018, 2019, demonized the Russian agent, the mastermind. It's all down to, did he perjure himself about connections to WikiLeaks? WikiLeaks has said no connection, no proof of connection. There never was a connection. I was there saying, why won't you talk to us? Why don't you talk to Roger? Roger's like, well, I know a talk show host. He talks with other lawyers. They say it's going to be big. But, the Pentagon Papers, journalists can talk to whoever they want. So everything, this giant two-plus-year red herring, hoax, canard, smokescreen, elephant in the room, now rest on him. And then right on time, Dr. Jerome Corsi, The Treachery of Jerome Corsi, is the article on Infowars.com. I don't want to get into this. I want to get into big picture 2019, but why is this so important? To quantify my own words, he's trying to create a land bridge saying, well, there wasn't a connection with WikiLeaks, but Stone wanted a cover for it when at the time you made those statements, you were begging WikiLeaks to talk to you. It's ridiculous.
There's nothing to cover for. That's exactly the point. Look, 2019 is about impeachment. Don't believe those pundits who say the Democrats won't go there, because they will. Because you see, George Soros demands it. The financial sources, the people who feed Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and their caucus, demand it. And you saw their trial run in the wake of the Michael Cohen campaign finance violation material. Adam Schiff saying Donald Trump is going to spend time in jail. Really, Congressman? BS. First of all, I'm not even sure it's a crime. That was their trial balloon. Do they really think that they can impeach the president over a minor campaign finance violation? Barack Obama took in $84.5 million in illegal offshore cash. We didn't impeach him for that. So it's an admission. They have no Russian collusion. They have no WikiLeaks collaboration, even though, as Rudy Giuliani pointed out, it's not clear why it would be illegal anyway. But that doesn't mean it happened, because it didn't. They have no high crimes and misdemeanors. So they're going to have to try to invent something. And that's why Adam Schiff and Jerry Nadler and the F troop taking over the House, they want to look into Donald Trump's.
And we're going to talk about that in a moment, because you predicted over a year ago, if they get the House, they'll start a bunch of investigations. 84, they're saying. So they're going to try to hopefully segue from Russiagate to all these other fake investigations and people they can dragnet, people they can find dirt on, and then say, turn state evidence, we'll put you in prison. And this is completely transparent. Get false testimony against the president. But here's Michael Moore over the weekend saying he can't wait to see the Trump family in orange jumpsuits. Then why doesn't Trump go on the offense when we have the Democrats by the small hairs? Here it is.
What are your what are you most looking forward to in 2019?
As many members of the Trump family in orange jumpsuits as possible.
That seems mean-spirited.
That is really the wrong way to end such a festive time of the year with such animosity toward those who would do wrong to this country.
But, I mean, yes. You're not alone. I will say that there are many people anticipating, actively looking for criminal indictments, people surrounding the president, which is not a crazy thing, given that we know that John Jr. has told people that he expects an indictment.
Yes. And Jared. And on and on. Listen, here's probably what won't happen, because especially New Yorkers know this, because Trump got away with everything for like 40 years.
He's been getting away with things for decades.
Yes. That streak shouldn't end this year, more than likely, because I think Trump has always been careful to be not in the room when the crime is being committed. Hmm. And so.
That's interesting. You think he's canny enough?
No, yeah. Oh, you I do. Think he's very canny.
When the crime is committed, Roger?
Well, I mean, if you want to find Russian collusion, it's pretty simple. All the Democrats need to do is look in the mirror. If anybody belongs in an orange jumpsuit, it's Hillary Clinton and Bill and James Clapper and John Brennan, Susan Rice. We can point to hard evidence of crimes that they violated that are open and shut. Donald Trump Jr. attended a meeting with a Russian lawyer. Explain which law that violates. Read the code section to me that violates. That would be none. Take a mighty large orange jumpsuit to get Michael Moore in it, I must say.
That'd be an orange whale.
It would be.
So where do you expect, just gut level, all these fake investigations to go now?
House Intelligence Committee, pardon me, the House Democratic Caucus is going to vote articles of impeachment on Donald Trump, regardless of whether they have any evidence that rises to the level of high crimes and misdemeanors. You heard it here first. The more they soft pedal it, the more I am certain that it will happen. And it is not 1974. They don't have a completely complicit monolithic media to push their narrative. I urge Republicans in the administration to regard their subpoenas the way Eric Holder regarded subpoenas from the House Republicans. Tell them to shove it. They did it. I didn't see the New York Times wailing about his violation of the constitutional law. So I don't view their House majority, in all honesty, as legitimate. They won it with stolen voters. They don't view President Trump's election as legitimate. I don't regard their election as legitimate. Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Roger, you're right, though. They can't help it. They're going to have the votes in the House and the judiciary to start the impeachment, and to get the indictment in the House, it'll go to the Senate and fail. But just as sure as the sun came up, they're going to have a bunch of show trials and then run impeachment right into the 2020 election.
Well, I'll tell you what I did learn in the Kavanaugh matter, and that is in the Kavanaugh conundrum where they completely falsified information regarding Judge Kavanaugh, they were far better at mobilizing their people for civil disobedience than we were. We can't make that mistake again. Folks, we don't advocate violence, but you can show up at your congressman's office. You can hold a vigil. You can let him know that you've caught him. You can crowd them and let your opinion be.
And by the way, Roger.
Democracy, by the way.
The average Christian, the average nationalist, the average conservative sees Senate buildings and House buildings, the Capitol, like it's God. You don't go there. Roger and I went there peacefully, totally took it over. Why let a bunch of George Soros-funded turds run it when they have these next impeachment hearings? Everyone, they're going to have giant lines. I'm going to lead it. We're all going to be in there peacefully and lawfully documenting what's happening.
If I had to point out the highlight of 2018, it was watching Ted Deutch and Eric Swalwell run from you like cockroaches, run like scared children, unafraid to engage in any kind of civil debate, just run like children. See, they love to defame Alex Jones or Roger Stone in front of the cameras, but when it comes to actually being confronted and being asked hard questions, which you'll never see from Chris Hayes, for example, they run like the vermin that they are.
And boy, they really do. I mean, they would start running, and the police would say, impeding a member of Congress is a federal crime now. I didn't impede him. The left can, like, shriek and yell and throw. No, we're calling for violence. We're calling for letting. I mean, imagine if conservatives and Christians actually go to these hearings. We never do that. Don't go protest at the mall. That's like the bug zapper. Everyone goes to the mall. Go to Congress. Go to the Senate, people. Go to their local offices. Do it.
No, actually, you shouting questions at them was a complete exercise of your First Amendment right. And the Capitol Hill police Nazi who was yelling you and pushing back on you has it backwards. It's called democracy. Ted Deutch doesn't have the cojones to face you, Alex. He likes to badmouth you in interviews and talk about taking your guns, but he won't go mano a mano with you. Hey, Deutch, you're invited. Come on InfoWars anytime, any place. Go head-to-head with Alex Jones. I dare you. I challenge you.
They won't go head-to-head with anybody. They just rigged these interviews. Roger Stone, great job. We'll talk to you in the War Room coming up today, 3 o'clock Central. Don Schroyer. Oh, by the way, got an update on David Knight and his heart attack when we come back. Thank you, Roger Stone. Phone calls coming up. Stay with us. 877-789-ALEX. 877-789-ALEX. Stay with us. 877-789-2539. Your call straight ahead.
From the InfoWars.com studios, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Du hast mich. Du hast mich.
I mean, I love you. All right, let's get serious. I'm going to go to your phone calls. I guess right now. And I guess next segment I'll get into this. But there's a new article up on NewsWars.com and InfoWars.com. And I knew where this was going. And I was told a couple months ago when Kanye came out and said, I've been duped. I've been manipulated politically. I don't want to be involved in either party. I just want a free people. He was talking about Candace Owens, and I'm not putting Candace Owens down, but she's the one that had said the design was his and that he'd done it. And it wasn't true. So he got really pissed by that. But then I talked to some folks that work with Kanye, and they said, no, he's still 100% with Trump. He just is tired of the politicos and the Republican Party trying to use him, which is what I figured myself. I mean, he's friends with Trump and friends with Trump like 15 years. So that's the reason he likes Trump, is he knows Trump's the real deal before he was ever involved in politics. But he's come out in support of Trump big time for 2019. And a little birdie told me exactly why he did that. In fact, I was told about a week ago, I said, look for Kanye to come out in support of Trump again. And you know why, right? We'll talk about it next segment briefly. That story's up on InfoWars.com. We've got George and Leonard, Michael and Carlos and Chris and Doug and many, many, many other people. Who's been home the longest here? Well, just gave the number out, so I guess George in New Mexico. George, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hey, Alex. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to get your take on the military tribunals and the preparation for Gitmo. What is your take on that?
Well, first off, George, I can't think of a better first call. You're the first caller for my show in 2019, so congratulations on that front. This is a very sophisticated, complex, deep issue. These people deserve to be sent to Gitmo. These globalists are traitors, they're enemies. And then the whole Q thing put out a lot of stuff that was accurate at first, then got more and more inaccurate as it got infiltrated and taken over. But Trump is getting ready to declassify documents publicly and through other means, as you're now seeing. And those documents are on InfoWars.com, the latest article from Zero Hedge. And so we are not in Kansas anymore, as they say. And it's not like we want to arrest a bunch of globalists. It's not like we want confrontation. They're already captured the country. They're already involved in all this oppression. So the question is, what do we do judiciously to respond to something this treasonous? And I think that's open for debate. But we counter the censorship with antitrust legislation. We counter the corruption with anti-human trafficking legislation, which Trump's done. And we, the people, get really aggressive politically, legally and lawfully, to push back against the bullies, the globalists, that are going around harassing everybody that's trying to restore the country's command and control to the country. So that's what I think. What do you think, George?
No, I don't know, Alex. I mean, I do research on this military tribunal and the preparation of Gitmo. I heard they sent this huge, massive ship on its way over there. But, like, at the same time, I'm just kind of like, I'm wondering, do you really think, I mean, this would be something that would happen? You know, like, I know there's the whole Q thing and then, you know, but sometimes I just wonder, like, is this really something that will really happen?
No, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. I appreciate your call. The whole Q thing's not going to happen. Sessions would never be removed. Mad Dog Mattis, Eyebag Mattis would never be removed. He was. Kelly never would be removed. They were. They were globalists. I knew this from the beginning. I was told this, brought in by Stephen Bannon. They were traitors. And they're gone now. And now you're seeing Rand Paul advise the president. You're seeing good things happening. You see the whole media system against him. So if you actually arrested a bunch of globalists, they would then sabotage the economy. They would then try to tank everything. Trump's got to slowly do all this. But always this magic thing of we're going to shoot UN troops in the head. No, we're not. If we're not going to get politically involved before that, we'll never pick up arms we need to later. And then the whole idea about Gitmo's coming. They're all about to get arrested. That's meant to keep us in our seats, believing we're winning, so they can bring the president down. It's like the Q people showed up at Broward County, where the police stand down. They work for Hillary. Bunch of Democrats. And the vice president gets off the airplane, and a guy's a little Q sticker. And Q runs it and says, look, we're with the vice president. Q. The vice president took the tweet down. Because it's a Democrat, deep state, globalist operation. That doesn't mean you're bad if you were involved in the Q thing. It tells you what you want to believe. It was the head of Nazi propaganda, Joseph Goebbels, that famously wrote, You don't want propaganda to be too sophisticated. You want it to be super dumbed down and easily believable in what they want to hear. See, that's the opposite of what we do. We put out the real complex stuff that's going on and say, we don't have all the answers, but here's what's going on. What do you think? They go, oh, the whole government's been taken back. Everything's fine. Sessions and Mueller are good people. Everything's going to turn out okay. And by the way, Alex Jones needs to be arrested. Even though InfoWars built the platform with our audience to launch Trump, I saw countless YouTube people go, I used to like Alex, but now I'm with Trump, and Alex needs to go to prison. Trump says so because 4chan and 8chan say they are Trump, and they say arrest Alex Jones. It's like that Naked Gun episode 2 or whatever, where the star of the show is like, kill such and such at some famous baseball player. I mean, it's like mind control. It's like, Alex woke me up, but now he must be destroyed. He is the enemy. He is the problem. And it's like, wow, whoa. Like, those people have seen Trump on the air with me. They've seen Trump as advisors on. They've seen us break hundreds of big stories. But it doesn't matter. Because there's, like, something so sexy about, I got a secret communication from 4chan. Alex Jones is the enemy. And Sessions is going to soon arrest them all. And, well, Sessions stood down in a major complex foil for everyone. So, no. The truth is they're shutting down the economy. They're getting ready to kill Trump, take us all out. Unless we stand up. There's not some magic carpet of, you know, Q going to save us. There's your answer. So you know my name. It's Alex Jones. You don't know Q's name.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
A number that is hard to believe considering I never get fair press or good press. How do I have these numbers when I get bad press? Because people see the job we're doing. People see the gasoline is way down. And the reason it's way down is because I called up some of the OPEC people. I say, don't do it. You know, if you look back a few months, gasoline was at $83 a barrel. That was going to be bad. And it was going to 100, and some people were saying 125, Rick. And I made calls. I say, you better let that oil, that gasoline flow. And they did. And now it's down to 44. And I put out a social media statement yesterday. I said, do you think it's luck that that happened? It's not luck. It's not luck. I called up certain people and I said, let that damn oil and gasoline, you let it flow, the oil. It was going up to $125. If that would have happened, then you would have had a recession, depression, like we've had in the past.
These
when that happened.
That Senator Romney's aware of. Why do you think he's going to come around and become a team player?
I don't know if he's going to become a team player. I hope he does. If he does, I think it's going to be better for him. I think people are very upset with what he did. He hasn't even gotten to office yet. He hasn't even gotten to office. And he was very happy when I endorsed him. So, you know, I don't know what changed other than we've succeeded in many of the things that I said we were going to do. And let me tell you, we're succeeding in others. We're really succeeding in things that people thought were impossible to do. So I think that Mitt Romney hopefully will be a team player. And if he's not, that's okay, too. Look, I handle it. I mean, I just got rid of, I wouldn't say good. They say they retired. They say that Bob Corker retired. They say that Jeff Flake, wonderful guy. I never even met him, and he's hitting me. He was going to tell people how to win in 2020 because 2016 can't. He wrote a book about it. Didn't work out too well, that book, because we won in 2016 because we didn't want to wait till 2020. So Jeff Flake is now selling real estate or whatever he's doing. He'll probably go to work for CNN. That's my prediction. Bob Corker, unfortunately, you know, had a good relationship. Then he thought he was going to get some publicity for himself. And his ratings tubed, where he couldn't have come in fourth in the primary. He was going to be a senator. Bob Corker was going to be a senator for another 20 years. And then for some reason, he hit me because he thought it was going to be good publicity. It didn't work out too well. So with Mitt, I hope he's a team player, but if he's not, that's okay too. I will tell you, we have some great Republicans. And if you look at the way they're standing up for border security, you'd be very proud of them. If you're a Republican or if you're a person that loves our nation. Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, President.
You just heard the President of the United States there in the Situation Room talking about everything from border security to his decision to pull troops from Syria in the cabinet room today, addressing DHS officials and the cabinet, even addressing Mitt Romney's recent scathing remarks about the president. We're going to bring in now Chris Starwalt, Fox News politics editor and the co-host of the I'll Tell You What podcast, to react and also talk about some of the other happenings in Washington today. Chris, first I want to ask you about the president pushing back against Democrats. He said that.
All right, we are back. We're about your phone calls now. Let's go ahead and go to Carlos in Canada. Carlos in Canada, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Thank you, Alex. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
I wanted to discuss with you a great difficulty. I did an analysis about 4 months ago based on the wall. And the unsung difficulty that President Trump has been having with the wall has not been addressed in the context of the drug deals and the cartels. The business of drugs entering the United States has never been greater than now. Actually, Colombia is producing tremendously, and Mexico as well. And it turns out that if you look at those politicians in Mexico and in the judicial system in Mexico, many of them internally are saying the wall is the greatest thing that could happen because we'd be able to clean up all the problems we have here with the cartels. Whereas the problem seems to be that an equal number in the United States are facilitating the transfer. And as long as President Trump is not able to stop those components in the U.S. side who are corrupted, and their campaigns have been financed for many, many years, since the 70s, by the cartels, these individuals will oppose them at every turn because they have, essentially, they cannot turn against those who have financed them for so long and then retiring and hope to die in bed. So he has to deal with individuals who will vehemently oppose him on having any way of building the wall, which would be good for both sides, the United States and Mexico, in the drug context.
Well, I think you're right, Carlos. And again, if the globalists are assaulting nation states. They're assaulting borders. So the symbol of a wall to stop all that and to say we have a country and to stop huge hordes coming over to try to break the wall to bring down the sovereignty is absolutely clear. I appreciate your call. Good to hear you here in the first of the year. Let's go ahead and take another call here. Let's talk to Christine in California. Christine, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hey, Alex. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
Well, one of the things that I wanted to talk about is Facebook. I got kicked off Facebook the same day that you did, so I take your deplatforming very personally. And the reason that I got kicked off was because Match.com has a backroom deal with Facebook to prohibit any other advertisers in the dating space unless their properties owned by IAC, which, interestingly enough, Chelsea Clinton is on their board of directors and has profited pretty significantly from that relationship. And I'm just wondering if you'll be talking more about some of the other industries that are being deplatformed, not just because of political reasons, but because of corporate monopolies.
Well, we knew that's the case. Once you get Facebook and Google, who control basically 90%+ of internet activity, they're going to then be paid off to create monopolies in every industry. Once you let them seize control of communications, it's 2+2=4. And I have seen news articles about monopolies and everything, where you can't even pay to advertise your mom and pop tire shop or your restaurant or your mom and pop hotel or your smaller dating service, because the big combines come in and they get exclusives and then you get denied from 90%+ of the market, that's called definition of a monopoly.
Right. And what are some things that we can do about this? I mean, I've been a matchmaker for 15 years, and my business has been completely destroyed. There are other friends I have in the industry, for example, the owner of Conservatives Only has a great online dating website and can't advertise as well. They won't take his money. They won't give him any reason, which, of course, we know the reason's the backroom deal. But these smaller guys and people like me are just shut out of the market. And then we have people who are really wanting to find someone. But if you go, for example, on some of these conservative and niche dating sites, there's so few subscribers that are so geographically.
Well, sure. Let's be clear. The leftists are controlling mating, courting, breeding. Every facet of civilization, because we had, you know, before we had letters, we had smoke signals, and then it became telephones, and then it became email, then it became social networks. And now by blocking everyone out of there, for those that don't know, everyone I know that's a conservative, a Christian, a veteran, whatever, the algorithm looks at them and who they are and what they are, and it's already a social score. They're then denied access to the marketplace of ideas. This is already here. The Chinese social score is already here. So, Christina, send us an email at showtipsinfowars.com. Come on as a guest. Tell us what you think we should do. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
Well, you heard it here first. The interviews already happened. Kanye West and Joe Rogan. The interviews happened. It's going to be airing in the next few days on the Establishment Podcast, the Safe Establishment Podcast. The woke one, Kanye, is, I guess, going to go on there and talk about his new love of Trump. You know, he never really backed off Trump. He just simply said that Candace Owens did not speak for him. He's now come out again in a big tweet storm, another statement saying that he's 100% behind Trump in 2019. But there you go. Tomorrow's news today, Joe Rogan, safe space for folks to go on and talk about big issues and being woke. When you're not supporting Hillary Clinton, that is coming up with Kanye West. So everybody should be ready for that. Infowars.com article right now. Trump all day. Kanye celebrates New Year's by reaffirming support for the president. Okay, let's go ahead now and go back to your phone calls. And again, my beef with Joe Rogan is not that he told me, oh, I'm going to have you back on the show in September of last year, but that he repeats Soros talking points against me. When I've had conversations with him and said, listen, I don't need to come on your show. It just hurts to have you sit there and say the attacks word for word off a script. But that's what he does. So people see through it, though. It's just a very sad situation. Let's go ahead and go to Leonard in Michigan. Thanks for holding. Leonard, you're on the air.
Hey, Alex. Happy 2019. I hope you and your family have a good new year.
Thank you. Back at you.
And calling with a product testimonial as well as a question. I am a medically licensed healthcare provider. And this past fall, I was out hunting. And I did get a deer. And I took a huge gash out of one of my knuckles on one of my fingers. And I put some of your silver wound gel on it and never had to go to the hospital. Never had to do anything else. Just put some, cleaned it off, and then put some silver wound gel on it.
Well, just so you know, that silver wound gel is private labeled from the top FDA authorized, approved thing they use in hospitals. And we sell it for less than they sell it to hospitals. So ours is private labeled, the best silver out there.
Yes. And I would recommend everybody have some of that, you know, in their house just in case of an emergency. And my question to you is, Last year, I don't remember exactly when it was. It was when the show was still on YouTube. I was watching live one day, and you were talking about, you know, WikiLeaks, the Podesta emails, things like that. And then one of your crew members accidentally put up on screen an email that you didn't want shown, one of the WikiLeaks emails. And I paused the video and I looked at it, and it was just all like walnut sauce, walnut sauce, walnut sauce. I love walnut sauce in this email. And then you got pretty mad and you were like, I didn't want that on the screen. Take it off the screen. We're going to do a big rollout when the time is ready.
So my question to you is, what you were saying broke up. You said blah, blah, blah. What were you saying?
The email that you didn't want on the screen kept talking about walnut sauce, and you got mad and you were like, take that
off. Oh,
yeah,
walnut sauce.
We're not ready yet.
Walnut means brown people, in the FBI's pedophile index. Yeah, no, I mean, here's what happened. Okay, you can talk for 50 hours about this, 100 hours. The New York Times, the Washington Post, CNN, back when we were covering the WikiLeaks emails that had them dead to rights, they created the whole pizza place thing and diverted everyone and got their own people on 4chan talking about it, just like QAnon, to then focus in on the pizza place where the stuff wasn't going on. Well, there was some weirdness, granted, but there wasn't a basement, all that stuff, so that they would divert all the stuff in New York and D.C. over to this pizza place. And I just didn't want to put up the names of little kids that are in those emails. Anybody can go read them for themselves. And I just don't want to half-ass cover something is what I was doing at that time. Because, I mean, this is the tie that binds. This is what they're doing. This is their operation. And this is who we're dealing with. And so people that serve this system, whether they're pedophiles or not, are aiding and abetting it. So I don't remember that exact show, but I remember telling people, I don't want to get into the Podesta emails unless we do a whole hour on it. Kind of like I want to get back into Breitbart's death. But I told him today, I said, listen, just because we're doing a bunch of research on this, I don't want to do Breitbart until we really do it right. I don't want to just half-ass say this or say that. I want to send people to his grave. I want to go talk to the coroner's family. This is dangerous stuff. I want to invest in this. This is important. Breitbart is worth this because I think they killed him. And so that's basically where that comes from. I mean, do you get what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. And I mean, I'm no private investigator. I looked into those emails. I looked into the people that were talked about in the emails. And I don't know if you can allow
me to say I've interviewed people that have emails and photos with these people. Okay, yep. Talking about having sex with kids. Believe me, I know. It's bad. And the average person that isn't even, you know, we think of it as naughty if we drink three beers and drive home. These people are raping children, okay? And we have a blind spot. It's like we're just not in that world. And it's a good thing, but it's also a bad thing because we're blind to it. And I appreciate your call. You know, you don't come back from stuff like this, Leonard. I've never come back from any of this because I don't just hate the globalist. The general public that sits there and acts like a bunch of sheep make me mad. All right, Leonard, thanks for the call. Who's up next here? Cody in Montana, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hey, Jones. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to run a quick idea by you. I saw how effective that you and Roger Stone were on Capitol Hill when you're going after the Google guy. But since you guys are so effective in that physical space, would you have any ideas about maybe starting an InfoWars lobbying firm or like a foundation of some sort to do a lot of outreach like that?
Well, you know, I don't have the money to do stuff like that. I have attrition, employees that have heart attacks or employees that have to take care of their moms or dads in hospital or, you know, that like some of my best crew are like, oh, their dad's sick or their mom's sick or, you know, they get an issue. So I'm just trying to stay. If everybody could start a TV network, it'd be easy, or a radio network. But absolutely, I want to do all sorts of stuff, Cody.
No, I hear you. Well, just want to tell you thanks again for the products. And we're out here spreading the word for you in Montana. So we're praying for you as well.
Thank you. Now, we should create a foundation. You're absolutely right. Let's talk to Dr. Kelly in Northern California. Dr. Kelly, thanks for holding.
Oh, thank you so much for taking my call. I got bumped a couple times, and I have a lot of things that I'd like to cover. And I just came up with a couple of new hashtags while I was on hold, and that is wean the screen and start eating heart. And you can make some really good Texas heart chili. And this is a follow-up to I don't care how healthy you think you are and how young you are, but I want to reach out to the InfoWars crew, and you're invited to visit North Lake Tahoe. And I'd love to, you know, give you some chiropractic applied kinesiology or, you know, whatever it takes. And as far as the fentanyl and the melamine, anything that was made in China should have stayed in China. And I just want to thank you for covering the 5G, the wireless, the Wi-Fi, and being a good example. And just God bless you guys. You know, I'm heartbroken over the suffering that your crew members have gone through. And I would like everyone to reach out to get into your local cable access studio and start making things happen. And just go for it. You know, once you kids become 18-year-olds, just go get it and do your best. It won't return void. And just thank you so much. And here's a big hug and high fives. And just keep kicking their butts.
I will, Dr. Kelly. You make a great point. When you go out to a meeting or an event or access television or local radio or whatever, the universe all of a sudden kicks in. That it's that intention you have is really what's magic. It's that action. All right, coming up. Coming up, ladies and gentlemen. In the fourth hour, we've got key information. Dr. Nick Baggage coming up. And then, Lord willing, I'll be back tomorrow. And, of course, we got the War Room, 3 o'clock today, Central. Sorry to Michael and Doug and Mark and Adam and Jefferson. Call me back tomorrow. I'll get to you. Thank you all, the crew. God bless.
Welcome back to InfoWars.com, and this is Dr. Nick Baggage sitting in this last hour, Wednesday, the first broadcast day, January 2nd, 2019. You know, just as the last segment was going off here, someone was talking about foundations, you know, and the idea of setting up foundations, and a couple of reminders for the public and others out there. Number one, foundations, tax-exempt foundations, 501c3s, just so you know, they don't get political speech. In fact, if you engage in political speech with a 501c3, they jerk your status away as a nonprofit. In fact, I would assert that foundations, the concept of them, was to silence multi-generational speech in this sense. Think of public corporations or any other corporation. According to the U.S. Supreme Court, they have free speech rights. They can do whatever they want, engage politically, etc. They get a lower tax rate, too. They only pay 20% federal income taxes, C corporations, standard corporations. On their offshore revenues and subsidiaries, thanks to Trump, we tax them something, but we only tax them 15%, less than half of the top rate for the rest of us that are breathing oxygen, living souls. But why I mention all this is for a couple of reasons. First of all, if you're thinking about transferring big chunks of wealth into nonprofits for tax reasons, I say render under Caesar what is Caesar's. Just pay the tax and then give freely your political voice wherever you want to launch it. But don't do it in a foundation because you won't have any more. Now, you can have 501c4s that have political speech, but they don't have deductibility, but they have a bunch of other restrictions. But given the U.S. Supreme Court has given the right of breathing to corporations, be one of them. If you're going to do something, you get a lower tax rate. You can offshore your offshore revenue. If you got revenue from offshore, set up a subsidiary.
You can bring it in legitimately as long as, here's the other little catch, folks, you don't own no more than 5% of your corporation. See, that's the way the big corporations get away with it, because most of them aren't owned or consolidated by a shareholder that holds 5% of these gazillion-dollar corporations, so they can do all that. You can't unless you break it up, you know, pretty finely. But anyway, you can still be a corporation. You can pay your 20% taxes domestically and have free political speech, something you can't have with a 501c3 nonprofit. So keep your political speech. It's worth it. Give the government their money. I don't know if that's worth it all the time, but do it. And then keep your political speech. So as for foundations. Now, on the corporate side, something a lot of people miss, and a really important point here. Corporations, when you have shareholders, some of them may be minority shareholders, and they have certain rights. And majority shareholders and officers have certain rights and also responsibilities. One of them is called a fiduciary responsibility. It's responsibility as leadership to all shareholders, including the minority shareholders. So let me give you an example. Say you're a corporation and you invent this incredible technology that'll change the world. And you had a private investment on one side of $1 million. And then the government comes in, maybe the Pentagon comes in and says, hey, we'll give you $10 million. And you say, well, I don't like what you're going to do with it, you know, Mr. Pentagon or Mr. DARPA, whoever you are. So I'm not going to take the $10 million. I'm going to do the $1 million and develop my business. Well, if you have minority shareholders, they can bring a suit against you for not taking the best move for them. You know, your fiduciary responsibility is to follow the corporation's charter, which is generally to make money. Now, you can write charters differently, and we're headed into the break. And if you write your charter differently, you can protect your right to do what you want based on a value system that's bigger than money. Right after the break, I want to get into this just a little bit because, you know, the last segment triggered this conversation about nonprofits. And it's an important issue. Going into the new year, a lot of new corporations getting set up. So let's talk about the fiduciary responsibility of small corporations, big corporations. Into the next hour, this is Dr. Nick Begich, and we're here on Infowars.com.
You're listening to The Alex Jones Show with Nick Begich.
Welcome back to InfoWars, January 2nd, 2019. Just before the break, and it was really not a, so much planned to talk about corporations and nonprofits and for-profit corporations, but the last segment, there was a caller that was asking this question, you know, about why not set up a foundation? And I was talking about political speech and what foundations, some of their limits. And then I was leaving off with corporations. You know, corporations do have free speech. According to the U.S. Supreme Court, they pay less in taxes, so it's not a bad vehicle. I still say render under Caesar what is Caesar's, give them the 20% corporate tax and keep the change, and then go use it and keep your political speech intact, because that's worth preserving. A tax deduction isn't worth giving it up. The other part is the value part of a corporation, no matter whether it's publicly traded or privately held. The minority shareholders have certain rights, and they have to do with the profitability of the corporation, unless your charter, those governing documents when you form your corporation, set something different in motion. You know, in other words, if you have a charter that sets your highest value as doing some public good, but you're a for-profit corporation, and then you're clearly stating in your charter that your purpose of your for-profit corporation is this public good thing as a priority, or this thing as a priority, whatever those value statements are. And then under that, somewhere down the list, is profitability and money and making money and distributing money to a shareholder. Now, if you lay it out properly in your charter, and everybody gets a charter when they, you know, get your stock and your corporation have access to it, then everybody knows what the game is going in, and they invest in those values and ideas and profitability, but in a certain order. And I think that's important for people to know. Beginning of the year, setting up new businesses, contemplating new enterprises, why don't you lay it on a platform of values first, so the living soul of that corporation, which is you, continue to drive it. Because otherwise, you're subject to what are called minority lawsuits. Small shareholders that decide they don't like what you're doing based on profitability only, they can sue you in court. They will win. And unless you can cough up the money for the difference in what they lost, don't do it. You know. So anyway, just a bit of advice on corporations, having heard that last little bit. But I want to get into a couple of other issues, you know, that are off that topic and more in some of the discussion of the day. You know, during the break today and during the last segment also, there was a discussion, Donald Trump talking about oil prices and what he's done in the oil sector, which for the rest of the country has been great. He's kept the price of oil down, kept the price of gasoline down. I was just in Austin. In fact, Austin in Southern California, just got home a couple days ago, been gone for almost 4 weeks. So it's a bit of a surprise to be back in the snow. But, you know, having traveled around looking at gas prices, it certainly is down and low. In Alaska, this has sort of an adverse effect. But I want to talk about oil prices in terms of infrastructure right now, because that gets into the government side of the question. You know, in Canada right now, there's tar sands that they were trying to build a pipeline south through the United States into the ports and into places where it can be processed. Now they're trying to build something across Canada, BC. That looks like it's going forward. And the reason is that oil locked up in British Columbia, very expensive to extract. They're getting a fraction of the world market because the transportation costs. Right now it's being sent in tankers, you know, railroad tankers to exit. You know, and this is normally pipelined product. So when you think of West Coast crude oil, there's a premium on it right now. Alaska's getting above the U.S. and global oil market right now because there's a shortage on the West Coast of oil products. So, you know, it's weird how this works, but transportation corridors and pipelines increase the value in the ground of oil, which increases tax revenues to producers, etc. Otherwise, it gets eaten up in the tariffs for transportation charged by rail or pipelines, pipelines being much more efficient and effective. Why I bring this up, again, is in the context of national policy. When you think about oil prices and their fluctuation, how that affects the nation, it's not just oil and gas as in gasoline, and then gas as in natural gas that runs things like power plants. I want you to think for a moment the position of Alaska. And think for a moment of data centers as a technology, and they require a couple of things. Data centers require prodigious amounts of energy, power, in raw form, and they require a lot of that energy primarily for cooling things down. Now, in Alaska, a lot of people don't know this, but when you think of infrastructure here, the technocracy has put some in, and some private sector has put some in. That's now bankrupt and been absorbed by others. But fiber optic cables going all the way across the North Slope of Alaska. And what you can do there, if you tap natural gas in place there, don't even build a pipeline, just tap the natural gas in place and build data centers and use the energy using magnetohydrodynamic generators, which are very efficient. You take the gas out of the ground, run it through filters to pull off moisture and any other particles, and then run it straight into turbines and produce electrical power very efficiently at that location. And then from there, take that energy and utilize it in data centers. And then because you're on the North Slope of Alaska and for a good deal of the year, it's what we call cold. I mean, really, really cold. You're looking at the GC Rural Network, existing microwave, proposed microwave fiber optic links, and the fiber optic links are there. You know, and when you think about it, this is a way to really capitalize on, A, it being cold and not taking much energy. You just suck in the air from outside, filter it for moisture, and cool your systems, but also the raw power. And you can plug that into the country. Now, the infrastructure of information being the backbone of that. Now, if you combine this conceptually with what else Alaska has within a modern culture, you know, it's information, transportation, communication systems that drive so much of our modern culture. I've been saying this since I was in my late teens, you know, and I'm 60 now, so a long time. And I've watched it emerge. Now, Alaska sits also with one of the major factors of production, and these are minerals and natural resources and land. This is one of the four factors of economic production that I've covered in other segments. We're going to cover it again today as a refresher and, again, to tie information together about what modern infrastructure is beyond what we think of as the internet or data centers, although Alaska as a national resource holds a great deal here. Because you can cut the consumption of energy dramatically by locating those data centers here because they consume so much power for cooling. And secondly, you can tap the energy in place from natural gas straight into that use, which is the optimum value added. Everybody benefits. Lowest cost per unit, eliminating the transport and being very efficient on the use of the energy. And then you free up those energy resources in other locations where they are on the power grid. See, Alaska's not on the grid. We're off the grid. We're one-fifth of the nation running an independent power grid. And then throughout our state are several separate power grids within the state, which is duplicity in some sense, but also maintains our system even when backbones go down, because we can operate. This is a different concept of energy. Instead of the big giant hydro projects, even the idiots up here are thinking in that direction when they should be thinking in small systems, smaller community-based hydro, wind, and some of the alternatives do make sense. And they make sense in every economy, including this one, including the rest of the country. We're going to be back in a few moments after the breaks. I want to remind people this is InfoWar. We're into a new year. Remember to support this network and everything that we're doing to keep the public informed on the very important issues facing our nation, our country, and our world. We'll be right back. This is Dr. Nick Begich.
The Alex Jones Show, because there is a war on for your mind, with Nick Begich.
And welcome back. The subject matter we're covering today, jumping around a little bit, but I want to get back into this infrastructure issue and concept. Again, when you think about the wealth of the nation, you know, what can globalists not control? Let's start with that. Sort of, what do they not control? They don't control labor. That's one of the four factors of production, labor. They don't control entrepreneurship, because we all can have that. I mean, anyone can be that. That's the second factor of economic production. You can look this up in any basic economics book. This is it. The third, you know, when you think about you got labor, you've got entrepreneurship. The next is capital equipment. Now, this is stuff that builds other stuff. Now, most of us don't even have that anymore. This would be a basic set of tools, you know, because you can make things out of them. That would be capital equipment. If you're a tailor, it would have been your sewing machine. You know, if you were a butcher, it'd be your knives and your grinders and all that stuff. If you're a factory, it's your factory. That's capital. It's not money. It's capital equipment, things that make other things, from shovels to big factories. And then the fourth one, and see, you can have a shovel and you can have a big factory and you can have a bucket and a squeegee, but you can figure out how to make a living if you have capital equipment, something, tools. So entrepreneurship, labor, and capital equipment are things everyone can have, build, and do. The other is land and natural resource, things that used to be reserved for the king, okay, and governments. And then later figured out how to transfer some of this to individual people. And so we have private ownership and we have a different deal going on. But we kind of canceled the deal, you know, when you think about that deal, because that deal used to provide people an access to public lands for private purposes. You bought them, you staked them, you did all kinds of things. You know, staking public land ended in the late 1960s, the last home sites you could stake in Alaska, 5-acre home sites, 5-acre commercial sites, and so on. That went away. And in Alaska, 90% of all the land is government-owned. And 9% of all the land is Native American-owned. And 1% of the remainder is individually privately owned. So it's not very much. But infrastructure that gets into the mineral and oil and gas wealth of the nation, which much of that is owned privately through staking that you and I as citizens, private citizens, can do if you're an American 18 years of age on certain federal lands and on certain state lands, and you can pay certain fees and obligations and have access to the minerals. And so you have private ownership of minerals. Oil and gas is an entirely different matter in the way it's handled in Alaska. It's government-owned and leased either by states or by the federal government. In some instances, Native oil and gas is leased, or they can develop their own. And likewise, there is some oil and gas holdings in some portions of the state that predate statehood and the restrictions on owning oil and gas privately in the West. But having said all that, infrastructure is roads, railroads, ports, power systems, power grids. Alaska's set up on separate power grids. Every community has their own power generation because we're separated by so many miles and there's no interconnecting grids. Alpha, the rail belts a little bit, but otherwise, no. When you think of mineral development, one mineral development, the Donlin Creek mine, which is scheduled for opening sometime in the next several years, they've finished most of their environmental work, but they've got a lot of construction. You know, the construction they have to build, they're going to build a 350-mile pipeline to bring natural gas to their power-generating facilities there at the Donlin Mine because they need 125 megawatts. That's how much power our second-largest city in Alaska, Fairbanks, uses at their peak usage. And so they're going to move it from the coast, and you'll see the Donlin Creek LLC, you can see on the map that's being shown. This is not showing where it's going, actually. It's showing corporate offices. Where it's going is across the inlet, 350 miles inland from approximately there. And this mine is huge. $56 billion in resource in 2013 pricing. Just a massive deposit owned in part by the native corporations of the region being developed by Nova Gold Resources and Barrick in partnership. And, you know, this is one of about 20. Now, imagine that. We have the energy to operate these mines. We have the ability to build ports, but what we don't have is a linked rail system. You know, what would be useful for the nation is to have a linked rail system tying Alaska's mineral wealth, the wealth of the nation, literally. When you think of the four factors of economic production, land and natural resources. And there are still ways where private parties can hold these resources. But what there isn't a way right now easily is getting them to U.S. Markets where value can be added by bringing natural resources to some point of value added in Alaska and then shipping that value added resource down to the lower 48 states where it can be produced into industrial goods for use around the world. You know, the reindustrialization of America is happening. It's going to happen both good and bad on the platform of robotics and AI, and we'll get into a little of that in the next segment. But these natural resources need to find markets, and they need to be recognized as the balance sheet of the nation, not handed off to globalists for pennies on the dollar, but properly assessed, value added, and infrastructure built in a cooperative way. The way Alaska does it is We have the Industrial Development Bonding Authority. So they bonded as a state project roads and ports and infrastructure locally to tie it into our existing infrastructures. And then over the life of these mines, they pay off those roads and ports. Red Dog, a case in point, I mentioned it many segments in the past, a zinc mine in northern Alaska. They've paid their road and port off completely now. They've operated over 20 years. They're going to operate probably another 100 years. The way that deposit is shaping up, and they paid for the port. But we need the leg up to tie this into the rest of the nation. Rail would do tremendous good for the nation, as well as the state and private organizations that can even afford to pay for part of that cost. But we need to take an innovative, creative approach, the kind of approach that the Trump administration is taking to the rest of the nation, and reassess the balance sheet of the nation and take a look at Alaska in the 21st century, because it is the foundational hope of the nation, the assets that we hold in common in Alaska. This is Dr. Nick Begich. We're going to be right back after these brief messages on Infowars.com.
From Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Nick Begich. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
And welcome back. Just before the break, we were dealing a little bit with infrastructure. And, you know, during this segment, I've covered quite a bit of topical material. But getting back into the whole infrastructure equation, this is one of the basic functions of government. When you think of 20% of the nation's land mass is Alaska, just under that, and the biggest percentage of any state of federal lands, that's all of our lands in common. And within those federal lands, tremendous wealth exists, the wealth of the nation, literally, and an opportunity to really build the nation on that platform. Right now, there's probably 20 world-class mines slated for production or advanced exploration over the next 10 years. This includes rare earths in southeast Alaska, as well as gold, silver, zinc, and copper deposits in southeast, which is on tidewater. So there, ports are easy. The tidewater depth of those ports is deep. It can handle just about everything. So that's going to be a big issue. But that's an export. It's going by ship. Most of that is going to end up on other ports in the Pacific Rim. And there's two reasons for this. One is shipping by ship between U.S. ports is prohibitively expensive, because of the Jones Act. Most people don't know what the Jones Act is. It was an act of Congress, goes back many, many years, and was set up to accommodate the maritime unions, the longshoremen, and others, which I understand, and to protect American shipbuilding, which is an important industry to protect. So here it goes back, the Jones Act, going back even to 1920, the Merchant Marine Act of 1920. But when you think about building of ships, what happens is, as an example, if I ship a container from China to a U.S. port, in other words, a foreign port to a U.S. port, which is exempt from the Jones Act and is allowed, I can ship a container for about $1,000. Now, I can ship that same container, not do anything to it, just turn it around at the port at Long Beach and ship it over to Maui, Hawaii, or to Honolulu, Hawaii. And my cost of that shipment is going to be about $8,000 for that container. At least $8,000. Okay, 10 times, 8 to 10 times as much to ship it from a U.S. port to a U.S. port because it's on a U.S.-built ship. And that's the difference. You know, for the commercial side of life, that makes a pretty big difference when you're shipping things out of Alaska and Hawaii or to Alaska and Hawaii in terms of our cost for receiving U.S. goods. And unfortunately, that's one of the problems right now with shipping things to and from Alaska and why we need a railroad. You want to keep the Jones Act? Go ahead, protect U.S. shipping, but get us a railroad link, for God's sake, so we can begin to participate in the U.S. economy with 20% of the land mass and most of the mineral resources and world-class quantities and all of the rare earths and everything we're importing from somewhere else. All of those mineral imports could be ended on the back of U.S.-produced, Alaskan-produced resources. And we need an infrastructure to support that. And we need a national will to support that and a recognition that Alaska is not the stepchild of the nation. Alaska is the greatest resource of the nation in terms of land and natural resources. This is the fourth significant factor of economic production and why it's fought over by communists, by globalists, and by capitalists like the rest of us, because they all want to own that factor of production because it's not labor, it's not you and me, it's not entrepreneurship, which is again you and me, and it's not our shovels and picks and pitchforks and equipment that we can build and acquire. That's you and me. It's the land and natural resources that the big fight has always been over, whether with the king of 250 years ago or the sovereigns of the globalist community of the 21st century. It's the same fight. It's over equity, natural resources, and who gets them. And then who gets to tax the fruit of our labor? You know, we left England, eventually shed the burden of involuntary servitude. And then when that was challenged in the U.S. Supreme Court in the form of income taxes, it was ruled unconstitutional in 1894. Unconstitutional to tax a man's labor because it was involuntary servitude. But the globalists, the bankers changed that, amended the Constitution, and in 1913 we got another major act of Congress has choked us as a people, the income tax. That didn't affect the common man when it passed, because it didn't kick in until you made 25 grand, and the average guy and woman in this country didn't make anywhere near that when the average wages were probably $1 an hour for a 10-hour workday. So we didn't worry too much about the income tax. And for the very rich, 25,000 then, which today's value would be $500,000. That's where taxes started. The equivalent of $500,000 a year in income before they started in 1913. And then they ended at the modern $500,000 and back then at $500,000 at 6% top tax bracket. That was $500,000 was $30 million in today's money. So just keep it all in perspective, you know. And so corporations set up a bunch of deals. Corporate tax rate was lower. The minerals rate, they slid in something for oil and gas and minerals called depletion allowances, which cut their effective rate to half of the corporate rate. So today it's effectively 10% of their cash flow and 7.5% for their overseas revenue, not the 15 and 20%. Corporate tax rates. You know, we started the show on taxes and corporations and some of that, and we're ending this segment a little bit on that because I want to tie it all together again. Oil, gas, minerals, and land are the wealth of the nation. That is one of the four pillars of economic value, economic production. Again, this is something we all need to know because it's how it really works. They give us the illusion that the economy is currency, the money running between these four factors of production, the facilitator of exchange, of trade. Currency is merely that. Your credit card is merely that. Your debt instruments are merely that. They facilitate the transfer of things at some established value that people can calculate. And somewhat rely on in most economies, even fiat money backed by thin air, you know, or whatever. But the point is, you know, this is how it works. So we've been served up the illusion that currency and paper, like stocks and bonds, that are just ether when you get right down to it, look at a slide in the market and say, oh, my paper disappeared. You know, a slide in your house value, you don't say, oh, my house disappeared. Or a slide in your factory value, oh, my capital equipment disappeared. Or a slide in your income, you don't say, oh, my labor disappeared. Or my entrepreneurship ability, capability as a human disappeared. No, the real value always stays intact. The four pillars of economic production. You as labor, entrepreneurship, land and natural resources, and capital equipment stay intact. Why it's all important is because the illusion of our economy robs us of our freedom also. We're going to be right back after a few brief messages. I appreciate everybody being with us on this first day for many workday of the new year. This is Dr. Nick Begich, and you're listening to Infowars.com.
Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide. It's Alex Jones. And now, your host, Nick Begich.
And welcome back to Infowars.com. I always forget to plug my own website. I better do that now. And it's earthpulse.com, EARTHPULSE, earthpulse.com. And I urge folks to take a look at what we have there. And all of our products are at the Info Store. And so check that out at Infowars.com. Our books, our videos are all there. And when you get it through the Info Wars network, you support Alex, you support me, and you support all of the guys and women in the booth behind the scene that you never get to see. Keep operating this network and allow us to do what we do. You know, before the break, I've been talking quite a bit about tying the knot, you know, in terms of how all this flows together and what's happened and why it's important. You know, when we think about sort of the hijacking of even the concept of basic economics, you know, capitalism and what it offers in opportunity for the average person was always this chance to do what the big guy does. And what's happened is the rules have changed so dramatically that the big guy keeps getting bigger and the little guy keeps getting the boot on the neck, you know, by virtue of regulation that's so complex we can't deal with it, or literally pushing us out of the marketplace and then restricting it. And now you see the tie-in of a technocracy with globalist agendas and bankers. They even shut down media, the opportunity to even have a conversation. You want to talk about fundamental flaw in the system? These organizations that have attacked InfoWars, Alex Jones and others, this is the problem, ladies and gentlemen. These are it's not just about political speech, which is sort of where we started talking about nonprofits and the illusion of them. You know, a lot of the law is written and then we're sold this story that eventually gets so embedded in the population we no longer question it, like the story of a nonprofit, the story of how corporations work. And then we forget valuable components of that story that actually are a choke on your freedom and your liberty. And you need to make sure you unshackle the choke by recognition of the rules. And then you can play by the rules. You know, you want to play like the big guys, and you better study the rules. And you find out that most of them, you're exempted because the way they're structured keeps small people out. And it's designed that way. So you're exploited, you're treated like chattel, and now you're taxed like a slave, something that was unconstitutional. It was considered the same as slavery, as repugnant as slavery is. That's how it ought to feel, to be taxed to the point that we are taxed, where as much as a third of our labor for productive individuals in this country is taken from us and redistributed, and 20% of the productive yield of corporations is. Now, if corporations are going to have political speech and people are going to have political speech, we ought to have some equity in influencing our government and not having our resources, our cash between the four factors of production removed from us so freely by those taxing authorities. You know, equity and taxation would be a nice start if you want to measure humans against corporation, because we're still on the short end of that deal, ladies and gentlemen, and have been for quite some time. Individuals' worldwide income has always been taxed for American citizens. No matter where you go, no matter where you raise and gain your money, you're taxed here. Now, there's a few little deals they make you, but basically you're taxed in the U.S. And if you're a corporation, up until Donald Trump, you didn't get taxed at all on that foreign income. And you could play the shell game of tax-free jurisdictions, the Bahamas, the Grand Caymans, Malta, and other places where they set up shop. Or Ireland, where the tax base was only 5% for corporations, and these companies did that to offshore their profit centers, so they put their intellectual property, their patents and copyrights there, and lease those to their U.S. constituents, so they made zero in the biggest market in the world, zero profit in America. It all got made by this obscure little company with one person in their office answering the phone, maybe. And this is how they skirted U.S. taxes for decades, until Donald Trump decided, hey, we're going to do the Tax Reform Act and we're going to dip into the pocket of these foreign companies, including his own. You know, he had foreign operations and now they're paying U.S. taxes, including his own. Okay, so taxing at an equitable rate, considering what does a U.S. corporation get for that little bit of taxation they're paying? They get the full force and power of the United States military to back up their overseas assets, which is, incidentally, where we always end up fighting wars over America's interests. Whose interests? Yours? Mine? I don't think so. Most of these are globalist interests, international bankers' interests, who like to keep the game going. And the way international bankers collect is you make sure they have an adversary on the other side, and you bank them both. Everybody pays. That's what they got going. Now, you look at the Middle East, and I've asked this question in recent days because of all the controversy. Trump is pulling us out. That's one of his promises. Hey, I thought it was a promise of our republic, actually, that we would stay out of these foreign affairs, you know, that don't concern us, like Syria. What in the hell are we doing in Syria, for God's sake? What's our interest there? Somebody define why American blood is being spilled there for me as an American. Afghanistan, I get it. We were there to knock out the Taliban. Okay, mission accomplished. Ta-da! And then the weapons of mass destruction in Iraq that were never there because they were never there. Ta-da! Hey, let them have their own governments back. Let us withdraw. If they go into revolution, maybe it's what they deserve or are entitled to, depending on how you look at it, because the installed governments of the United States may not be their preferred government, and that might not come as a surprise to many listeners of this broadcast. The fact of the matter is, we're watching this play by the Democrats about Russian interference with our elections. Well, we try to unwind, under the Trump administration, three regime changes, Afghanistan, Iraq, and Syria, that we tried and failed at. Regime change. Now, if that's interfering with an election, I don't know what is. But having said that, you know, again, let's think back at the Founding Fathers' premise that engaging in these foreign ventures was not part of the original formula and really isn't part of the American character. It's get in at the last minute when our asses are really on the line, and most of the time that isn't happening. Most of the time, nobody's assets are on the line except some globalist corporation or some banker who's made a bad bet. Well, why should we keep covering their losses with military, with our treasury, with our debt, bailing these kind of people out of their problems? We did it with the SNLs, we did it with commercial banks, then we did it with a bunch of corporations. Meanwhile, looking at humans again, the nation's youth are saddled with $1 trillion in debt from student loans that they cannot escape, even under the bankruptcy codes. Corporations can escape every debt they have under the bankruptcy codes, but you can't, because the bank has your kids by the neck. Had we spent that money, that $1 trillion of the bailout, paying off those student loans, you know what would have happened to the U.S. economy? Step on the gas, ladies and gentlemen, because people would have been buying homes and consumer goods and things that they've been able to put off to pay interest to bankers on debts that were too high, on institutions that were overpriced, and where there's no throttle on any of it. It's just wide open and exploit the people and enslave them from college on out. And that's what we've seen. You know, we could have done something different. It would have been the Jubilee Day in the nation to free our young people of the burden of their debt. And instead, we freed shareholders and bankers of the burden of theirs, and we saddled our grandchildren with it. Welcome to America in the 21st century. I'm so glad to be a part of InfoWars.com and this network, because this is where change begins, with real information and an empowered population in this century. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.